All right, welcome back. Grapes and Gorak. I don't know what episode it is anymore. I think it's 13.
I was thinking 12.
It might be 12.
Yeah, who cares?
Anyways, that's the end of that streak.
Yeah, quite a streak. Longer than my don't say Josh Allen's name streak.
We were going to start it over.
No, but this is me referring back to breaking the streak. Yeah, I could have right there just said QB 17.
QB
so that's 17 my bad.
For the Bills.
Okay, so a new streak has started where I just completely fuck up the Josh Allen thing. Within 8 seconds of the podcast starting.
Yep, so we're going to start that one over. Hopefully that streak lasts longer.
That streak was about as long as our Eliminator pick streak.
Oh, that was a good streak. That was a real good streak. Titans never started. Titans on the road.
Titans on the road. That was your pick to start the year. What was mine? Because I deleted it off the spreadsheet.
The Saints against the Bucks.
That's a good pick. Yeah, the Saints haven't lost since, and the Bucks are a joke. Okay, I got fucked on that one. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Sean.
Didn't that screw up your parlay that week too?
No, I think it did. I think the Saints were supposed to. Well, they were like nine, by like ten. Yeah,
but they're a little teaser. So I think you got them down.
Oh
like
yeah,
six
I did. I bet
them
down
like
low.
That.
Yeah. Well. Fitzmagic, it was at its all-time high.
Yeah,
actually, true. It hadn't quite peaked yet.
No, but I mean, it had just begun.
Yeah,
it had just begun. Something. Although, think about that. That ended 3 weeks ago. I mean, it seems like it just happened. That's how fast the NFL season goes. It's week 7, and he hasn't played since week 4.
Yeah, I think so. Because they had a bye in there somewhere too, right?
Maybe they had a bye week 4, and
yeah, I think they benched him. Have had a bye. I think Winston's only played 2 games, but they had a bye, so. But yeah, fuck, week 7 already?
Yeah, the season just flies by. It's unbelievable. And then you get the dead of winter at the end of it. You know, it's like you're at an all-time low because the Super Bowl's over, and then it's like, oh, great, we got 2 more months of just freezing.
Nothing to do. We can't go play softball. We can't.
You know, we can watch basketball. We can't really go play it because unless we go to the gym.
Who wants to watch the Wolves?
No.
Actually, I do. Who's
I like the Wolves right now. I mean, right now it's awesome. It sucked for 15 years. But anyways, Vikings.
Another win.
3-2-1.
Back completely back on track.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I can give you a list of teams that I'm scared of in the NFC North. All right, it's over. I mean, the Bears lost to the Dolphins. So.
Yeah.
Are we tied for the division?
No, because they're 3-1. They're 3-2. We're 3-2-1. I looked at winning percentage wise, we're worse apparently.
Okay, I don't get that because I thought that counted as half a win, and it counts as half a loss too.
Yeah,
so I feel like we're 500.
I feel like by the end of the year, you'll all play the same amount of games, so it'll even out, and we won't need to worry about it.
I hope so.
Apparently, if it ended right now, they're ahead of us. I don't know, but
all right. Good for them, I guess.
Because you've won 3 out of 5
games compared to 3 out of 6.
Yeah.
So
your winning percentage is obviously worse, but.
There it is.
Whatever.
Your winning percentage. That's what it goes by.
The Bears are a fraud. Like you said, the only team you're scared of in the North, the only team I'm scared of in the whole, I would say the Saints and the Rams.
Yeah.
Are the good teams.
I would agree. There's not many. It's weird because it was supposed to be so stacked.
And it doesn't. Well, the Falcons have fallen apart.
Yep, and they've been decimated by injuries.
Yeah,
Matt Ryan is actually kind of good at football.
We'll dive into the other teams later, but let's.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about teams we were scared.
There's none.
None in the North. 27-17. I feel like we handle them pretty well all game long.
I feel like it was one of those games similar to the Eagle game where we were handling them so much, but the score wasn't really reflecting it, partly because we only got the field goal, and then we were up 10-3, and then the whole fumble for touchdown happened with Buda Baker picking that up, and then it was like, we're tied, but we've outplayed them this whole game. So, like, it was one of those that felt like, eventually, we're just going to pull away, because we are clearly better than them.
True. I felt that way the whole time. When they tied it up, it wasn't like the Bills game, where they're up 17-0, and you're going, okay, what's going on? Like, they tie it up, and it's like, all right, it's halfway through the first quarter, second quarter, whatever.
And you've had, like, 2 good plays this whole time. That play, and then, like, that one long pass to Christian Kirk. Like, that's all you've done this whole time.
Yeah. So, and I know Steven Siegel tweeted at me about Kirk Cousins' small hands. I watched that play again, and that is not Cousins' fault whatsoever.
What?
I mean, dude smacks the ball, like...
He doesn't even sit. He's
putting it away. He's in the process of putting it away.
I'm going to say this. Teddy Bridgewater does not fumble that ball because Teddy Bridgewater gets out of there quicker because Teddy Bridgewater has great pocket presence.
Facts only. I don't know, small hands.
Yeah. I feel like he doesn't, I don't know. It's just too many fumbles.
True. But that, Chandler Jones would have knocked that ball away from anybody not named Teddy Bridgewater.
If they had the ball right there, but had they felt the pressure sooner.
The ball's like right in front of him as he smacks it out. His arms come wrapping around.
So I didn't look that close at it, but he's got the ball in front of him.
He's got the ball in front of him. He's only got one hand on it, but the ball's front of him coming down.
I heard it here. One hand on it.
All right, you got me. You know?
Well, and who gave up that sack?
Rashad Hill.
Your left tackle.
Hey,
Rashad Hill.
He played pretty well that entire game.
He was not that great.
No.
He
wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be.
He was
kind of like where I figured he would be.
He's kind of like how he is on the right side. Like, he's not a complete disaster, but he gives up a couple plays a game. But it's not like, again, I just think of like TJ Clemmings. Like, you were like, oh great, we're getting 3-4 strip sacks this game because TJ Clemmings is playing left tackle. I think he's actually weaker in the run game. I was rewatching the game just now, like, I don't know, right before you got here, and I was just going through like, why did a play fail? It doesn't really like make a lot of sense because you could have a positive play where like a guy blows a block, but like, you know, someone else makes up for it. But if you just looked at all the plays, like, why did a play fail? He blew, like, 3 run plays, but he only allowed a couple pressures. So, I don't know. He just seems like if he could take another step, maybe he could be, like, a good starter, or he's just maybe a swing backup.
And that's not the worst thing, because Brian O'Neill played very well.
Yeah.
One false start.
Yep, I wrote down for him for, like, a negative play. Like, he full start. And then I think he had one other. Oh, there's a pitch play we run where we toss it to Murray.
Okay.
And I can't tell who screwed it up, but I think it was him. I think he went like all the way to the outside to go block. And Rudolph looks really upset at someone. He's either pissed at Treadwell or Ryan O'Neill for going for the wrong guy. So other than that, though, I thought O'Neill played great. The one play he allowed pressure on, but Cousins was like, he's like getting drugged down and just flips it to Thielen.
Yeah.
That's the only play I saw that O'Neill allowed like quick pressure.
I saw that play too, and that's really, I'm with you, really one of the only plays. I did write down, because I watched this time around, I watched it twice, you know, live and then again. And the second time around, I mainly focused on O'Neill on offense.
Oh, did you? Just kept watching him?
Yeah, just to see how he's playing. And I just wrote down, like, he's got to get stronger. Like, that's what we knew coming in. And it's not like he's got to add 25, 30 pounds of muscle, which I originally thought, like, which is what they were going for. 10, 15 is all he needs. Like, he's super, super slim. He's got good technique. It's just he gets that quick push off the line.
Well, that's the one where he allowed the pressure where the guy grabbed Cousins and Cousins gets rid of it.
No.
Doesn't he bull rush him backwards and he just reaches and grabs him?
Yeah. Yep, there's that play. But it happened like 3 or 4 other times.
Where he just gets pushed back in the pocket.
Yeah.
But like, it's like, that's fine, I guess. As long as you're not letting your guy get around you, you don't want that, obviously. But it's like the lesser of like...
But he gets stood up. That's where it just kind of goes south. Like,
yeah.
If it was collapsing from the other side and Cousins were to roll out, the dude would easily be able to just shove him off, shred him, and go get the quarterback.
You think he's like... I figure he's more of our future left tackle, right? Just with the athletic.
I would think so. I would think he's athletic enough to play left tackle. I believe they drafted him to be our future.
That's kind of what I feel like. I feel like his body type is left tackle. He's got great feet. He can handle the quicker guys, you would think. And then a lot of times you put your more like your bigger guy in the right, because a lot of times that left end is playing the run more and like actually doing a lot more bull rushing. Yep. Like I remember with when we had like Ray Edwards and stuff, those guys, like Jared Allen always just did the big looping, coming for the sack, and then it was, you know, the other guys had to play the run. So I think he'd be more of a left tackle, but then I don't know how you end up, what you do with Reef or what you end up.
Well, Reef originally played right tackle.
Yeah, he went from left to right, back to left.
So if he if O'Neal can start at left tackle next year, easily move Reef to his more natural tackle position at right tackle, because he's a better run blocker than he is pass blocker. And O'Neal,
hey, maybe O'Neal, you know, blossoms. Rashad Hill, you know, progresses, and you just cut Riley Reef and take the cash.
Hey,
I don't know what his actual contract situation is, but
I'm sure it's a nice chunk of change because we paid him pretty well.
I just wonder, like, if you did like cut him or anything, if it would be a cap penalty or.
I think did we sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal?
I'm sure 4 or 5, but most of our contracts.
I think it was a 4 year deal. So if you were to cut him next year, that'd be his third year.
Yeah, which regardless, I think 4 or 5, point, I think, yeah, at that point, most of our contracts, all the guaranteed money's in the first two seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, almost any contract we do, besides, you know, Kirk Cousins.
Exactly.
So, but that's, I don't know, random conversation about cutting Riley Reef. But hey, you were talking about benching him, and now I'm talking about cutting him.
Hey, you'll get anything on Grayson Gore.
But O'Neal, I liked the way he played. I wonder if he was actually on. No, he was not one of my top three guys.
He would have been on there, but I just grouped him together with something. Did we want to? Can we do our stars before we talk about the game so we don't
repeat? Yeah, let's kind of use that as the way we talk about the game.
Yeah, three stars. My first one, Adam Thielen.
Oh, well, he's a mainstay.
Until he gets shut out or like 2 for 16. But if he goes 2 for 16, one's probably a touchdown.
The play where it's third and I think it was 3rd and 15, and it looked like Cousins was just throwing the ball away. But I think they challenged it. Didn't they challenge that play? Yeah.
Steve Wilkes' first challenge of his career.
I'm so proud of him making that challenge. What a catch. Like, it looked like he was just throwing the ball away. It was ridiculous.
Unbelievable. Under pressure. Is that the one where it kind of looks like it was like a glitch where it doesn't even look like he got rid of it?
Yeah, I think the whole play looked like a glitch. Yeah. I don't know what was going on. It was like, oh, damn it. 3rd and 15, he's got to throw it away. And then Thielen just comes out of nowhere, dives for it.
It's not like a clean catch either, but he's got he gets it, presses up against him.
He's great with that ball awareness. Even when he bobbles it, like his next move is like to just secure it so fast.
Yeah.
Because he knows like
quick twitch.
Yeah, he just knows exactly about. Like, I don't know. The guy's a beast. I still contend if Diggs was playing the slot, Diggs would be getting a ton of stats.
Probably.
Because we are quick passing, and he's getting meshed up on linebackers. If you are in zone, he's almost always on a linebacker because he just runs over the middle.
True.
Just does a little couple moves.
Diggs was on Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
And Diggs had 2 targets against Peterson, 2 catches, 26 yards.
Yeah.
And Patrick Peterson's arguably top 5, but a top 10 corner in the NFL.
Yeah. Thielen's just eating people alive out of the slot. He's killing on the outside, too. I mean, he's doing both.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. And
I saw a lot of people on Twitter are now starting to come aboard. Is Adam Thielen the best receiver in the NFL? Yeah. Like, not
last
just
week
Vikings.
It was like one of like, oh, yeah, maybe he's in the top 10 or he's up there. Yeah, now it's like, ooh, Thielen. People are just saying it now. Like it's not Adam even a Thielen. Thing, you know?
And it's funny. Somebody goes, they said something like, when we started talking about Thielen being the best receiver, and first comment was probably when he started spelling his name right.
I saw that. the guy spelled his name wrong. What an idiot.
So, it's an easy one. It's I before E, except after C.
You learned something in school, huh, Ryan?
That guy didn't, and he's a reporter.
I think he was a fantasy writer.
Oof.
He doesn't care about their names as long as they're putting up points.
That's true. But still, He's so good. His routes.
Now, contract situation. Does he get paid more than Diggs? Stat-wise, he's on pace to destroy Diggs and destroy everything. He's older. He's 4 or 5 years older than Diggs.
So, how old is he going to be? Is his contract up next year?
His contract is up after next year.
After next year.
Which usually is this offseason will be when the Vikings tend to redo deals.
Yes.
Unless you're Anthony Barr.
Anthony Barr played really well.
We'll get into that. First, Adam Thielen will be. Let me check his age.
You would. Maybe that's why we don't have it.
He's 28, just turned 28.
Maybe that's why Anthony Barr hasn't signed yet because
we're saving some money for Thielen.
We knew, like, if Thielen does this again, which we know he probably will, do we prefer Barr or Thielen?
I think part of it is like, yeah, just keeping the flexibility of, because you have Richardson, you have Barr, you have Thielen. You also have like guys like Trey Waynes coming up at some point.
I'm thinking at Thielen's age, he's probably somewhere in the realm of the 4 years, $60 million range rather than the 5 years, $72 million that Diggs got.
Yeah, maybe you can get it for, I mean, what's it's going to be the same yearly salary, I would, somewhere in there.
I think Diggs will get paid a little, or Thielen will get paid a little more than Diggs, less years.
Less, you think less guaranteed too?
No, I think you guarantee Thielen more money at this point. I think that's how you get Thielen to stay around on a shorter contract and less money than Diggs. He's producing more than Diggs.
I mean, how does he not ask for number one, like top five receiver money? How does he not ask for the most? Odell Beckham's got to be the most, right?
Yeah, 5 years, 97.
I mean, he's obviously, Thielen's got to keep this pace up. But if he does, I mean, he's probably going to go, okay, I'm 28. Well, I didn't play for three, four years.
Did Antonio Brown sign at 28? That's kind of what you got to look for. Because I feel like at his age with those numbers, that's
similar.
Exactly. That's kind of what you want to look at. And I think Brown was probably 5 for 70.
I'll tell you right now. Yeah, Brown's 30 now.
So 2 years ago.
He signed 5 for 72. So isn't that very similar to Diggs?
That's exactly what Diggs got. Wow. 72 and a half, I think, maybe for Diggs. I think 572 was the deal.
So yeah, if he gets something in that area. He got robbed on his last deal. And I know it's because he hadn't like completely broken out yet, but we tendered him, I think it was a second round tender, and I was shocked that some team didn't try to give us this. You could tell as a Viking fan that Thielen was going to be a good receiver. I mean, it took a couple years. Like, it was okay. He's just this.
It was at
team,
the end of the Bradford year where we tendered him, right?
I believe so.
And that's
ask any Viking fan, the Packers game.
12 for 220 and a touchdown or two.
Yeah, I just think if you ask any Viking fan, it was like, oh, he's going to be a great player. Like, after that season, during that season, and like beyond, and then I remember his agent, because his agent is on Twitter, was just like, teams are going to regret not giving up a second round pick. Instead of drafting some random in the second round of the NFL draft, you could have just got Adam Thielen, or at least made us match a bigger contract.
25 or 26 years old at that time too. Like, yeah, dude's just entering his prime.
So yeah, I feel like teams, especially someone like Belichick, would have just loved a route runner like that. Or, you know,
I know you, Belichick's probably going, what the hell did I not give up a second round tender for him?
Yeah, I just, yeah. So he, I think he's going to get paid a lot. Hopefully we can fit him in there, but
I think,
because he got 3 for, what was his contract?
Wasn't it 4 for 19?
Oh, is that what it was? So
he's highway robbery.
Yeah. I thought at the time it was pretty weak for, but I guess yeah, you get paid.
I agree. I thought at 4 for 19, that was,
yeah, you're right. 4 for 19. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, cause I probably,
he signed through 2020. So now I guess, sorry.
So after next year.
Yeah. But are you really going to have him play at next 31? Year for $3.85 million? Okay, or do you at least like try to do him a solid and extend him and give him a little more money?
I think I guess it all depends on what he feels. If he comes to you and says, hey, I'm not going to hold out, but
we need to do something.
Yeah,
here.
I think I'm worth more than this.
Or does he want to play it out so he can get a free agency? Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
I don't think he does.
I don't.
I don't think Thielen wants.
No, he just wants to stay.
He played here.
Was he underpaid because he was white? That's the real question.
Yes.
I feel like he just didn't. People didn't see the potential in him.
Well, they're like, you know, stereotype. He's just a gym rat. Yeah, just a gym rat.
He's just, you know, he's just a shifty slot guy. You know. Even though he's six foot two, Wes Welker, but
3 inches tall.
Yeah, he's just scrappy.
That's why Cooper Kupp won the fourth round, because everyone's like, oh, he's just a slot receiver.
Yeah, which he kind of is, but a really, really good one. Yeah.
And he's 6'2".
he's not
just some short white guy. Neither is Thielen. So Adam Thielen.
Thielen's like big and fast. Has great hands.
He ran a 4.4 out of college. And I was listening to somebody, I forgot who it was, and they're like, how is Adam Thielen overlooked? He ran a 4.4 out of college. People come to see 4.4 speed. It doesn't matter where you play.
I think someone mentioned that on the broadcast was talking about that. Yeah, it was like, it's not like he was 4-6, and it was like, oh, never mind. Good hands, but too bad. Who is the highest drafted white receiver? Can you name one?
Cooper Kupp in the third round?
Matt Jones. Is that who you were going to say?
Matt Jones, yep. I was just going to say that. From Arkansas, the quarterback. The
converted quarterback, yeah. Yep.
First round, 21st. It was in the 20s.
Yeah. I can't think of another one.
I don't think there is one.
I almost feel like it's the opposite of the whole, the black quarterback thing that everyone's always like.
He's not smart.
Yeah, it's always that stereotype going that way. He's just the whole Lamar Jackson should be playing receiver thing. It's like, what? Because he's crazy athletic doesn't mean he can't throw. So, yeah, I feel like it's like the NFL teams. Well, they're all old white guys drafting for the most part. So it's like they're still sort of like looking at these old ways of thinking. Like, well, this is a shifty white receiver and that's a athletic quarterback.
Which is why John Gruden drafted Colton Miller over Derwin James.
Nice anchor. He said he had to because they already took a safety. He wanted Derwin James. They took Carl Joseph not too long ago.
And they took Obi Melifonwu in the second round. Yeah.
Who they cut. They don't play Carl Joseph.
Nor do they play Garrett Conley. Yeah, their first round
can't
pick.
Play him. And they're shopping Amari Cooper.
But John Gruden wants to see more of Garrett Conley, but he just played one defensive snap.
Yeah, well, that was plenty. He saw what he wanted to see.
No, he said that this week.
Oh.
Yeah. After the game, he said he wanted to see more of Garrett Conley.
They're like, Gruden, you know he only played one snap. No, didn't know that. I wasn't paying attention.
I want to see more.
I was counting my money.
No, quiet. I only got to 4.6. I forgot what the other number was. I got to start over.
Yeah, it's a lot. All right, so that was a long way to say Thielen's a star. I also had Thielen, so we're going to go right back to you.
Third down defense. Next two are things, not people.
Okay. Perfect.
I think this is going to be good, but third down defense. And fourth down, I guess you can group that together. What were they? 0-for-13 on third and fourth down defense, or third.
Did they not
down?
Get one the whole game?
Not one. Not a single
it just
one.
Shows you how much. Just if we get them into third down, how good we are. Because we didn't get the Rams into third down; they beat us, and we did the Eagles and the
Cardinals.
Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals just looked. They didn't throw. They only threw the ball downfield like three times. I think two of them were they actually completed. They just looked
rookie
like they
quarterback.
Had,
you watch the game again. So much pressure on him.
And
has zero
no
time to read anything.
Weapons.
Zero weapons.
Of.
Christian Kirk, I mean, you can say Larry Fitzgerald all you want, but he is old and slow right now.
And
he gets
he hasn't
separation.
Done anything this year. Like, it might be, he may have fallen off the cliff finally. You know
I
what mean?
Think
like,
it's.
Father Time is undefeated, and it might have just beat Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah. Kirk looks good, but it's still a rookie. And, like, their tight ends are random.
I think they've got a good solid connection, good solid core on the.
Yeah, I mean, you've got David Johnson, you've got Christian Kirk, you've got
Ricky Seals-Jones.
He does look like he could be something at some point.
Josh Rosen
they
seems
just,
to find him.
I think they need another receiving weapon, and they need to revamp that offensive line.
That offensive line needs to be redone
fast.
Because
we were beating them up back there. And I mean, like you said.
Even Jalen Holmes is beating up on some guys.
Well, in the third down blitzing, like. They had no chance. There was so many times.
They were so confused.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Rosen confused or the center's confused or they're all confused.
Well, I think they're all confused because the center definitely should be. He's in charge of the.
And there's multiple times that you see him pointing, you know, like 54's the mic. And then all of a sudden, like, we do like a complete, like, all of a sudden people shifting around, moving around. And Rosen completely missed. He missed the one where we. Harrison Smith's up at the line. Anthony Harris is back. And then they rotate.
Oh, I watched.
Rosen completely just thinks that it's the other way around and just throws it right to Anthony Harris.
And he what's the word I'm looking for?
Stared him down?
Yeah, that wasn't it. But yeah, he stared him
was
down.
Was it continuity?
No, it wasn't. No. It doesn't matter. But he stared it down. Like Anthony Harris is sitting there like on a QB spy or whatever he's doing. He just is like, oh.
He was just coming down to like jump. He just came down to jump that route because they switched the cover three to be Harrison deep and what's his name just playing robber, you know, just running around and Rosen just was like, oh, he's gonna be wide open after the snap. Hike. It's like in Madden where you've just like decided who you're going to throw to before the snap. Like, this is going to work perfect. Yeah. Like, A button and it's just intercepted immediately. It's
no!
Like, oh, what happened? I could have sworn he's going to be wide open.
Where's that guy? He's supposed to blitz. Yeah.
What? Yep. Yeah, but yeah, third down defense was great. I don't know if I read it on Twitter, said that our third down percentage is better than last year right now.
I believe I saw that too.
And we pretty much, didn't we set some sort of record or best since like 91 or some crazy stat like that?
Yeah, something crazy. It's weird. We just must not have been getting into third down situations. Were we getting into third downs against the Packers really didn't get into third downs either though. Because they would just get the seven.
Yeah,
five,
and they also,
four,
I just
seven.
Don't feel like the Packers did all that great against us. They had the blocked the punt for a touchdown. Davante Adams had one touchdown. And then would they get five field goals? Like, that's what, you can't let them kind of take those. It was kind of a weird game where I don't feel like, really the only game our defense played really bad was the Rams game.
And I think we were just out-coached.
I think McVay has a really good set of weapons. He's really smart, and he knew not to get in third down. They're the best third down defense in the league. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to avoid that down. Downfield, first and second down.
Whatever play I would run on third down, I'm going to run on first down.
Yeah, because I'm probably going to be way more confident in what defense I'm going to see. He's just going to be in their normal base defense most of the time.
If I end up in third and one, third and two, I'll give it to Gurley.
Yeah, so... In the Buffalo game, I mean, a lot of it was on the offense, getting the strip sacks and just putting the defense in a really bad position. Not that the defense played well. I know they had that screen play that was broken. Just weird shit like that. Like, I feel like miscommunication was more of the problem. So, I don't know. Coming together, though, I feel like Eagle game and this game, defense played really well. I mean, what this game, what'd they end up giving up? 10? Because 7 was on Buda Baker.
Oh, 10. Yeah, the defense healed.
And
10, yeah.
We were in a, like, at the last touchdown's really more of like a, okay, you can have 10 yards every play because we want you to spend 8 minutes driving on the field.
Exactly.
Like, we weren't playing our normal D at that point because it was 27-10. There's fourth quarter. You're just letting them.
And we were still getting pressure with four.
Yeah. So
we stopped blitzing, but we had a couple sacks on that last drive too.
Yeah.
Which extends the drive because it happens on first down. So then they're getting 10.
Yeah. And your corners are playing off. They're like giving up. Okay, we'll give up 6, you know, just to keep you in bounds. And so I thought the defense played fantastic. And another rookie quarterback coming up, but we'll talk about that. We're getting them all. So that was third down defense, you said. We talked about him. Anthony Harris. Dude only played like, it had to be 15, 20 snaps. He was, because they rotated Ioka in. Sadejo was out. But
yep,
Ioka played. He started. Harris played. And Jaron Curse played a little bit. But Anthony Harris with the pick. He also had a great play in the in the end zone. It was on the fourth down stand. I think it was first or second down. And he's in the flat. Now, I think whoever was covering this tight end would have made the play too, but I just like what Harris did. They ran the typical bootleg play, and he's covering the guy in the flat. So the guy goes, Rosen goes to throw to the receiver in the back of the end zone.
Okay.
And Harris peels off and then runs up for the bat down. Just like most of the time, that guy just covers the guy in the flat and isn't even watching the quarterback. So he's just standing by the guy in the flat, and then it's one-on-one, I think, with a linebacker. Well, the way he just peeled off and went up to the bat, like, it turned into double coverage. If that ball's thrown lower, he gets an interception on that because he just undercuts it.
The awareness on the play.
Yeah, just the awareness was great. And, for a guy who played, like, minimum snaps, he shows up every time. He showed up last year in the Rams game with the strip at the end zone.
He's shown out lately. When he gets to play, a lot of our guys on our defense, when they get the opportunity to play, they're ready.
They do well.
They thrive in that situation.
I think we have 5 good safeties. Like, that could play any time. I mean, Jaron Curse is playing great. I mean, he played in that nickel role.
Did he play as much? I don't remember seeing him.
He didn't
as
play
much.
As much because Mac played a lot this game. Mac played more than Hughes. And I know
Hughes didn't play a lot either. It seemed like, wasn't that same in the Philly game?
Yeah.
Mainly Mac?
It was mainly Mac, yeah. And I think maybe they're more comfortable with Mac in the slot and then leaving Hughes on outside for like if Waynes or someone's hurt, because week one is when Hughes really played a ton of nickel and Mac was hurt. So when Mac is healthy, it seems like he gets the majority of the nickel snaps. And I thought he played well, just on a side note.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. I said earlier, I'm like, I'm going to mention one of my not so stars. And immediately, like during the game, I was like, I think I kind of just focused in on the plays where I saw Mac give up a catch or whatever. Well, and then
he had a couple penalties late.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what caught my eye.
Yeah.
But I went back and rewatched it. I'm like, where are all these bad plays that I thought Mac had? Then the penalties came out. I'm like, is that really what I was going to give him like bad stars for? Because the Fitzgerald pass interference in the end zone.
Was that one in the end zone? Or the one? Oh, the face guarding one or whatever?
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty weak ass call because face guarding is no longer illegal.
They called the pass interference.
Which I get.
But it's basically
he did was face guard. And maybe if the ball was a little more underthrown and like Fitzgerald ran into him more, but it sort of just looked like Mac could tell that Fitch was looking for the ball and just went like threw his arms up and like just kind of guarded him.
Yeah.
So I thought that was,
I didn't see any contact or
I thought that was a bad call. So
there's another.
That's not the way you want to cover someone, obviously. You want to have your head turned and like, but. In that situation, I don't see a problem with throwing your hands up and trying to block him from seeing where the ball is. Yeah, then the other penalty was that illegal contact one, which is a little, I mean, it was probably a penalty. But other than that, I thought he played well. But
yes. While we're on penalties real quick, I just want to deviate because it's fresh in my mind. The Rudolph pass interference with 2 minutes left.
Such a bad call.
I rewatched that. I watched every single person just to see if it may have been a tackle or a guard.
Like maybe they called it on the wrong person or something.
Nobody.
And the back, that back judge throws the flag too.
There was nothing. What he probably saw was Rudolph turn up Thielen and kind of push the guy aside after the ball was in Thielen's hands.
The play came late too, so that could have been what it was.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's the only thing I could have
said. Such a bad call.
It's like no way is that like they're like 82.
I was writing down, you know, like why a play went wrong, and like you know, it's if Rudolph or who that one. I just wrote ref fucked us because you can't call that Rudolph did anything wrong there. So like,
nobody did anything wrong on that play. I was like, oh,
that was a good third down play.
That was right before the half. We ended up punting that drive.
Got the ball back, right? Because
we got the ball back and we got the Dan Bailey field goal, but. We could have scored a touchdown on that drive, and then the second half is completely different. Maybe we roll in with more momentum and we completely blow
and they
them
just
out.
Collapse. And that was a really bad call.
It was bad.
And are they just done calling holding, by the way?
They're done calling it on us, that's for sure.
Well, I just mean, like, was there a holding call in that game?
I don't remember.
I feel like growing up, or even, I don't know, 2 years ago, holding was like, I don't know, 5-6 times a game. They're just I know they want people to score, so they're just throwing it out the window. I remember the Packer game. It's like they're just holding us every play. Is that what's okay now?
I think it is okay.
The penalty's just disappearing.
Unless it's just blatant holding, where the guy's coming off the edge and you're like holding him up. It's like all right, yeah, got
it. I feel like it. Yeah, they're not calling the ones where they think it's not affecting the play. Like they're like, okay, this right guard held a little bit, but. You know, the quarterback had rolled out to the left, and it's whatever. We'll just let it go. But there was at least one play where they threw deep, and I think it's the one where Harrison Smith just doesn't really get his head back quick enough, that Jahlil Johnson gets completely held.
Really?
Yeah, he gets, like, spun around, and then he's still running towards the quarterback up the middle, and the guy's, like, trying to jump on his back. I was like, what is happening? How is that not a penalty? That's just not a penalty? I mean, he's past you. You can't grab him or do anything. He's just, like, jumping on him, so I don't know. I just was wondering if they'd be
and I'm okay with it because, like you said, growing up, it's there was always holding on.
Yeah,
play.
Every touchdown was like, hold on, is there a flag? Oh, I know there's not a flag.
And as soon as we got rid of Todd Stussy, you know, they actually stopped coming.
Yeah, maybe our team's just taught not to hold anymore. I don't know, but so what was mine, Anthony Harris? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes,
I thought he played good for a little bit of snaps, he does, and yeah, like I said, 5 good safeties. I think we're very deep at that position,
One of our best positions,
yeah. So, and good to see Ioka got to play a little bit. I thought he did fine. I don't know. I did not write his name down once for fucking up.
Good deal. I know, I think he played punt or kick. I think it was punts, but he made a nice play on a return. I know that. Special teams.
Right, who you got for your third?
Third star is another.
Star.
It's another group. Just the run game.
Much better.
They did not make the. They did not make the
first
national
time
side.
Not making the negative side. I thought Brian O'Neill was a big part of that. Some of those big runs were to his side.
I agree. He plays really well.
Yeah. When I was writing down who I thought everyone did pretty good in the run game besides Rashad Hill. Remmers is a little
David iffy. Morgan. I watched him a lot. Like well, when he was grouped, he's grouped together with Brian O'Neill.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Hill. Good Lord. He's so good at blocking. Like, I know that's, you know, everyone knows it, but you could watch him every play with how good he is run blocking.
I like how we always have that kind of that blocking tight end weapon. And he's probably one of our better catching blocking tight ends. You know, he's actually someone that can catch a pass. So he's a beast. I thought the run game was much better. Murray looks good, but man, is he the stiff arm was badass. He can't break shit in the outfield, though. But he should stick with the stiff arm because his juke move is atrocious.
It's like watching me try
if to Delvin juke. Cook, now you like people are, I literally saw someone on Twitter like, well, we should trade Delvin for a lineman. Come on. Murray and he literally goes, Murray and Boone seem to be getting it done. This is the first game they've done good.
I asked Ben because I was like, I thought Delvin Cook was playing. He's like, he's hurt, something like that. Stretched out. This night, and then he goes hashtag bus. I was like, you do not call Delvin Cook a bus.
Hashtag bus. It's like, but Delvin Cook on those two, or I think there was two Murray runs that got in the open field. That safety, it's one on one basically with the safety. Delvin Cook completely would annihilate that safety.
Mike Boone, that his one carry. So much faster than Murray.
He looked like he was shot out of a cannon. Even the announcer was like, look at the speed! Like, because it's like you watch Murray and it looks like he's just running in quicksand and then all of a sudden Boone's just... Not that Murray did bad. Like, that's Murray is who he is at this point. You know, he's probably... It seems like he has pretty good vision. He gets what's blocked. But he is not fast and he is not making people miss.
He's not doing that 97-yard touchdown that he once had with the Raiders.
Yeah, no. Career high, though, yardage for him this
year. Did not know that. Kind of thought he rushed for more last year, but 155 is a lot of rushing yards.
Yeah, and it was almost all him besides the one Boone run. Yeah. Did you like the Rock Thomas play?
I did. I wanted it to work.
I'll tell you.
They should throw that out.
But... Morgan didn't hold his block long enough. If he does, like, they have the right... You're asking a lot of your... For how long they had to hold those blocks, but if they did, they had the blocking. I know it looked completely ridiculous, but those linebackers bit pretty hard on... Because Kirk Cousins starts running towards Rock Thomas. They go back the other way. Treadwell's got his guy locked up. And then I don't know who, I think one of the linemen's got a guy. And then Morgan just can't hold his guy long enough. But you're asking him to hold that block for like quite a while.
And I'm sure they've ran it in practice and it worked like once or twice. And they're like, it's against the Cardinals. Let's see what we can do.
And maybe you're setting up something. Maybe, you know, all of a sudden you'll run that same play and you'll fake it to him and then you got something else. I don't, you know. A lot of times you're running plays, a setup plays in the future, you know, put it on tape and they have to look at it. But
true,
Thomas got rocked on that play. he got knocked on his ass.
We're lucky that they got Rock Thomas and not Cousins.
Yeah, was that Chandler Jones?
Yeah.
So it's Chandler Jones on David Morgan. I mean, that's
or Marcus Golden.
Either one, it's a tough matchup for a tight end.
A DN, not a tight end.
I mean, both those guys are good DNs too. You're telling you're blocking some scrub, and it's like, all right, we can take him. So I thought it was kind of an interesting looking play, though. But run game, yeah, definitely good for the first time ever. So I like how the whole game they're just talking about how DeFilippo wants to pass, and Zimmer just begging him to run the ball. But I don't know. When I watch the Vikings, it's like, what would happen if we just said, let's throw Thielen every fucking play? Like, they can't stop him. So
and it's fun. I get what DeFilippo is doing. It's like, well, you know, when I do run, I don't get anything. So why not just...
How annoying is it, like, on first and 10 when we're on the ball? And it's like, well, now it's second and 10. Like, fuck it. I could have thrown a Thielen.
Exactly. Or Diggs.
I bet he's open.
Look at the tape.
Yeah. He's always open.
He would have been Brett Favre's guy. The little finger point, the little, like, quick hitch. Like, I'm not going to run it. We're just
going. So what do I got? I got one more?
You got one more, yeah.
I'm going to go with Anthony Barr. Thought he best game of the season. I think
by
he's
far
really
the best game of the season.
Since his rough Rams game, which, you know, can be debated whose fault those plays were, mostly probably because McVay's just
a genius.
Not so that Barr hadn't been making impact plays. I thought he made impact plays this game. Obviously the strip.
Yep.
Where he was basically blocked and just got his arm in there. And then he came off the edge once and batted a ball down. On another great design third down blitz, which he was unblocked, but smart enough to, you know, once he sees the quarterback releasing, he just jumped up, blocked it. And then a couple times, too, he came off the edge and brought pressure. So I don't, I just thought all around he had a really good game.
He did have a really good game. That was, it was nice to see. It was nice to see him make splash plays.
Yeah, because that's, if he wants to get paid what he wants to get paid, you got to make, like, you got to strip the ball. You got to get in there, bat a ball down. And he did that. And also, I didn't write his name down once for making a mistake.
And it kind of took a while for him to get going. But now he's kind of in that role of being a pass rusher, like we heard about in training camp. And maybe they were just waiting mm-hmm. to use that. They didn't want to show it off away.
And I think that's one of the things they want to use on third down. So getting ahead and getting to third downs. Because, you know, that was probably part of the Packer game problem. They were ahead the whole game. So on third down, you can't do these exotic blitzes because they could be running the ball. Like, they don't need to be throwing every down. When you get the Cardinals down by 17, all right, let's drop a play where Anthony Barr sort of, he'll play the run on his way to the quarterback, you know, kind of thing. So, yeah. You know, we're starting to get into game flows that Zimmer wants.
And maybe it helps having Weatherly. I don't know if he's really good in coverage, but the one play that I wrote down, the third down blitz, I know it was just a zone coverage, but.
Like a zone blitz where Weatherly drops into coverage type of thing?
Yeah, he dropped into coverage, and Seals Jones kind of split him and Kendricks. But I feel like Weatherly's quick enough mm-hmm. to go and bat that ball down or get to Jones and make a play. So
I like when we do those zone blitzes where the ends drop out. Or I saw one play where Jalen Holmes dropped out. They completed the pass, but he's like, Jalen Holmes is right about to bat the ball down. Like, actually made a good play on it.
Yeah. And Griffin was pretty good at that.
Yeah, and I'm sure Hunter, I mean, the guy's an athlete, so I'm sure he's good at it too. He's ridiculous. He played great too. You could easily have him on this. I don't know if you, I think you're done.
I wanted to.
He was fantastic. He's kind of been like the Thielen of the defense.
Actually, it was torn, or I tore it off because I did three original stars, but when I watched the game again, I redid it. But Hunter was on. Hunter was number two originally. But then I redid it, and I was like, he was good, but we talk about him all the time.
Yeah, like, get him out of here. He's like, again, like, he's like the Thielen of the defense. He's good every single week. I think did he get one sack or one and a half sacks?
One and a half.
They registered that first one where, like, a few guys got there. But
I feel like it could have been two and a half, but I don't think he got it.
All I know is he played great. Again, another guy I did not write down forever causing a negative play, so.
He's gotten so good.
Yeah. And, God.
Saw on Twitter today there. Was it J-Reed draft scout?
Yeah.
He's like 2015 draft. It's either Todd Gurley or Danielle Hunter
going for number one overall. Yeah, someone threw another guy out. I forget who it was, but yeah, I mean.
Top five, doesn't matter. Yeah. Top five, we got him in the third round.
Oh, and then someone posted to, I don't know if you follow is it Frozen Cold Takes?
Yeah.
However they
Freezing
do it.
Freezing Cold Takes.
Freezing Cold Takes, yeah. So basically it's a Twitter account that calls out stupid shit people said, and someone sent him where the Vikings tweeted out that we took Danielle Hunter. So it's this from 2015, and the replies are like, really, another defensive player? We need O-line. Like, are you kidding me? Who is this guy? Someone literally goes, who? And then W-H-O, who? Like, well, because he only had like three sacks in college, and
but he's everyone's an expert. Product. You take those raw DNs from the SEC.
Yeah,
like that's really like what that's, you got.
People
do.
Should just stop pretending like they know more than the NFL teams. Like,
true.
Are we upset about Mike Hughes and Brian O'Neill right now?
No.
Were we
ever upset about Mike Hughes?
No, but there was plenty of people.
There were plenty of people, but we weren't. I just we
trust
just
in Rick.
Oh yeah, in Rick we trust.
Oh, there we go. That's Rick, what it we is. Trust. Rick we trust. So that's my final guy, Anthony Barr.
Good deal.
Quality ball player. If he keeps this up, maybe I'll pay him. I still like Sheldon Richardson more. What are you going to do?
He's good too.
Yeah. He hasn't had this big impact except for Nanga, but Sheldon Richardson, another guy.
He gets double teamed all the time too.
All the time, yeah. And he still gets pressure a lot.
Yep.
Just because the stats aren't showing up doesn't mean he's not doing something.
True. Not so stars. I had a tough time coming up with
any. Not so stars. I have three that How I thought are pretty three? Good. One what? Of them isn't really a normal.
I've got really nothing, honestly.
Well, I can start.
Yeah, you start.
My first one is Mike Hughes getting hurt. So not okay. A different kind of way.
Like that. I like that
fucking
one.
Sucks.
Same 27-yard line as the Dalvin Cook injury.
Literally the same spot. Literally. It's crazy.
It must be I think Jimmy Hoff is probably buried underneath there.
There's something buried there. We got to find out what. Did you say Treadwell said that what did he say he did? Like banged his knee or did something early on. And then he was like, oh, no, I think I'm okay. And then Treadwell thought, like, I really wish I would have said, like, nah, man, we're winning. You should, you know, go sit out. Okay,
so maybe, like...
he tweaked it and then tried to play on it, and it was, like, weakened.
Okay. Which,
that kind of sucks. But...
maybe it was just originally a little sprain.
And yeah, so weak, and then he, and just, you know, he cut hard on it.
But,
and,
you know, that... it, oh, that looks so nasty.
That's... it's you watch 2 years slow. In a row, we lose our first round pick.
First pick. Not first, I think, round.
Oh yeah, Cook was our second round pick.
Plays, oh, like a first, how round we got pick. There, yeah.
He played really well every time he was out there. I mean, he made a few mistakes here and there, but I thought he played well. And it's not a huge loss if the rest of the guys stay healthy. But that's highly unlikely that they're not going to miss a game here and there. Waynes has already missed a couple games. Max already missed a game. Rhodes is constantly in and out of the lineup. He never seems to miss games, but he's constantly.
It's been that way for years.
Who's the corner now that comes in? I think it's Holton Hill, right?
Yeah, he's the fourth corner.
It's a great thing we signed him and got him and kept him on the roster, because with Newman retiring and the other option is Newman suit up? I think they said that was against the rules. Like, he can't even unretire.
Because he's on the coaching staff.
Because something about the coaching staff. Yeah, I thought...
that's just silly.
That just seems odd. So, I don't...
yeah. I feel like if you want to hire some scrub coach, you should be able to. Not calling Terrence Newman a scrub, but, like, how many people can actually play the game while they're on a coaching staff?
I wonder if he keeps training. Like, he's still, like, in the weight room with them. Like, hey, just, you never know.
He's got his shoulder pads and jersey on while he's at practice. All right, boys, let's go. Go get him.
He's just with them, running the drills. So that's my first, you know, that was probably the, like, the biggest, I don't know, shittiest thing about the game. Because everything else kind of went well.
True.
Was, damn it, we lost Mike Hughes. We've been pretty good so far this year avoiding injuries. We lost Easton.
What? See, I like that usually somebody gets, like, banged up. It's a game or...
yeah, we haven't had the devastating injury yet, you know? Like, you
we
know,
just did.
We just did. But even...
it hasn't been a star.
I'm sure a lot of other...
it hasn't been a star.
Yeah, I mean, if you lost a Thielen, a Diggs, a Rhodes, like, it'd be... Everson Griffin? Not an injury, but we haven't had him for...
3-4 weeks now?
Yeah, it's been... I don't know when his last game was,
Oh, it was the Bills game. Was his the first time he would play.
Yeah, right.
So he hasn't played since the Packers game.
Yeah. So at the press conference, someone asked Zimmer about the report that the Vikings weren't expecting Griffin anytime soon. That was sort of the quote in it. They don't expect him back anytime soon. And Zimmer said the report was false.
Yeah, he's like, so I don't believe that report or something. Yeah, like
and
that.
Then the guy followed up and asked, like, so wait, you're saying that you do expect him back soon? And then I think he said, like, don't believe everything you read or something, but then he winked at the guy. So it's like, are we thinking that he's coming back soon then?
Yeah.
So, but you saw today Jalen Holmes has been practicing exclusively at DN, and we brought back David Perry.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because Hughes went to IR, and David Perry got picked back up the big tackle. So, I don't know. It seems like we're not really preparing for Griffin to come back, but I thought that exchange was kind of odd.
Maybe you were preparing for Griffin not to come back.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
And Jalen Holmes played DN in college.
Yeah, we were going to convert him to 3-tech, but now you can just blame him on the outside for now until next year or whatever.
Well, because he's still got to put on weight. I think he's still only like 10 pounds above where he was at Ohio State. So it'll take him some time and I'm sure he'll practice inside and out. So we'll figure that one out.
Yeah. So that was my first one. He was you got one.
I got one.
All right, we'll shoot it out there. Let's hear it.
The god awful touchdown celebrations.
I thought that was like a Fortnite thing.
I don't care. They were terrible.
It was I didn't really get it. I heard it was the Bernie. So it's like a Weekend at Bernie thing where you're like dead or something.
Okay.
The first time they did it, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And then they did it again. It's like, I don't know why we're repeating touchdown celebrations.
I was like, that's terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. You
should scrap that one.
Yeah, I think maybe
don't ever go back. Again.
And last year we were so good with the duck, gray duck, with the frog hop thing and
leapfrog.
Yeah, then we had some good ones. And then this, I don't know what this was.
Then we got Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. Apparently this one's Adam Thielen's fault, so we'll let it slide.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is apparently he's been doing it for years.
Oh my god.
So we can't be upset about it because he's our best player.
The only touchdown celebration I remember Thielen doing is the slide in London.
That was a great one.
It was great because we were in Wembley. Yeah. Oh, that was good. Great. But now I find out he does the Bernie for his touchdown celebration. Not so sorry. Thielen, touchdown celebration.
Thielen's TD celebrations are weak.
Unless he's in England.
my other, what do we call them? Not so stars. We'll come up with a catchy name for this at some point.
Do we want to call them the Lone Stars?
No, that sounds cool. Does that? I thought we talked about this last week.
Okay, yeah. But we got to come up with the not so stars for now.
Not so stars. I'm going to go.
Should we call them the Troy Williamsons?
The Troy Williamsons.
The Williamsons.
The Williamsons. The
three Williamsons.
The three Williamsons of the game. That's perfect because he's probably the worst player I ever watched.
Drops a wide open bomb in Mile High.
Wide open. You drop wide open bombs like every other game.
I know, but that's the first one. Not the first one. But that's the one where I was like, yep. That's it.
It's done.
I am done
with it. It's like when Blair Walsh missed like a 17-yard field goal. Like, at this point, his mind is fucked. Like, Troy Williamson cannot catch anymore. That ball's in the air, and he's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Why are they throwing it to me?
He's getting open, and he's like, why am I open? I shouldn't be open. They're going to throw it to me.
Slow down. Slow down. Slow down.
Someone should do a YouTube video where they're just, like, doing the narrator for his brain. Like, oh, my God, they didn't cover me. They blew coverage.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Here it comes.
God,
oh, my God. Oh my God, I forgot to put my hands up. I have one of mine, Rashad Hill. I thought he was pretty mediocre at best. We talked about him, though.
Yep.
So you don't have another one?
Because
you do have another one.
Touchdown celebrations.
Okay, so I have one more. The fucking tipped passes.
Yeah. I almost wanted
six
to write,
of them.
I wanted to write Kirk Cousins down for that, but I was like.
I wrote Kirk Cousins down in the negative and then scratched it and just wrote tipped passes, but.
Tipped passes.
Kirk Cousins, that interception was all his fault. That was a really dumb throw where he just like, but you're going to get that because he takes chances and it's just like he just
got Gunslinger. Kinda, love it.
Like, yeah,
unless
there's so many plays that worked
games.
Out well. And then I know you say the fumble's not his fault, but he's fumbled a lot this year.
He has fumbled a lot this year.
And
I'm
then
not going to.
The tip passes, I feel like defenses have realized, oh, their offensive line's not that great. They're going to throw a lot of quick short passes. Against the Eagles, we threw a ton of screens. So I think they said to their DNs,
put
rush, and then if he does like a three-step drop, just stop and get your hands up because they were just tipping balls all game.
I think DeFilippo's probably going to notice that, and he's probably going to be like, well, all right, you take one step, fucking pump
yeah,
it real
give
quick.
Him a little pump, and now as soon as he jumps.
Or even just a little something
yeah,
with his shoulder, you know,
if they're
going to
play
up.
That like that half rush, you know, contain crap where they're just like standing there waiting for a pass, like. Pump him, and then just let the tackle just knock him on his ass when he jumps.
And I really think at this point, with like you said, with them knowing that we're going to do a bunch of quick passes, all it'll take is just something with the shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to have to be a whole motion mm-hmm. and throw him off. It's just something twitchy, you know?
Well, I'm thinking soon we're going to start seeing – last game it might not have worked well because Diggs was on Patrick Peterson, but some deep shots to Diggs. I mean, you fake a
sooner
quick screen to Thielen or a quick slant. I mean –
followed up by a bomb
yeah,
Diggs.
Yeah, go to the other side and Diggs is, you know.
The thing is like I believe you just said it, we don't have the offensive line.
Yeah, that's
right now.
And that's why it just seems like we've gone like
you
such quick passing.
You can't
passing.
Take that 5-7 step
mm-hmm,
drop.
Because our line, maybe once you get Reef back and you kind of get things yep. back to where they're supposed to be, maybe you do bench Rashad Hill and Brian O'Neill takes over or.
Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Because when we have thrown deep to Diggs, the Packer
it's
game.
It's been successful.
The Packer game.
Yeah. The deep shots have been good when we do them. It's just, I don't think we've had a ton of them. With the Thielen, when we were backed up against the Eagles, I mean, that was a quick double move. I mean, yeah, it's been successful when we've done it. I just, the Cardinals clearly came in with their coach saying, they're getting the ball out quick, get your hands up. Because that was weird. I mean, it was like four in the first two drives.
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything like it.
When
I was,
when
like,
I was
what the hell?
Writing down what caused plays not to work. Tip passes is like the most on this list.
Because I think it was six, seven times.
It was six tip passes.
Six tip passes.
And I didn't get all the way to the end of the game, but I think we started running at the end, so I don't think we threw again. But six tip passes.
The last four, I think we got the ball last four.
And we
15.
Just ran.
It was just running.
Yeah.
In meals.
And then two of the sacks I thought were Cousins' fault by not seeing open guys.
Okay.
So I just thought Cousins had a mediocre game. He had. I mean, him and Thielen obviously were connecting all game. And then I loved the...
You know, if that was a mediocre game, I'll take that.
Yeah, that.
I'll
take that. It kind of looked like a. You know, the thing is,
I'm a Vikings fan. I'll take that game every week. Yeah. Every week.
It reminded me of a Keenan game. That,
yeah,
like it was a lot of good, but then a couple bad. Like, you can't throw picks and fumble for touchdowns. It's not great, but he did make he drove down the field a lot.
How many times did we play last week? The Cardinals game last year. We probably played that same game 8-9 times.
Uh-huh. Where we had a couple big mistakes, but we just outlasted them. We're a better team. Overall, I thought not his best game, but even in his not his best game, he was still pretty damn good. So, but tip passes are annoying, especially when you watch the replay and the guy's wide open. It's like, what the fuck? Like, tip passes, take it out of the game.
You know, that's the thing. Like, you know about the tip passes, but you're watching it play and you're not expecting the tip pass.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you get to say, you're like, what the hell?
In 6 tip passes, you're lucky none of them went for interceptions, you know.
There was one tip pass where it kind of flew up in the air.
It looked like Patrick Peterson was going to grab it out of the air. Yeah, that was. There's a lot of times those end up going straight up to a lineman. So that's my last Troy Williamson.
Your last Williamson.
Last Williamson.
Last Williamson. I like that. God, that one's going to stick.
That's because those are. It seems harsh, actually. Seems harsh, you know, to call those tip passes Troy Williamson. It's over the line. It's just cruel and unusual. Anything else you want to hit on this game?
They had a better chance. The lineman got more hands on the ball than Troy Williamson ever did. No, I got nothing. Mac Alexander, when he got that sack, he did Linval Joseph's sack.
I saw that. Why do you think he did that?
Because
big fan of Linval, obviously.
Linval got a touchdown, so he got a sack. He had to give him
He
something.
Timed that blitz perfectly, that was by the amazing. Way. That was another awesome third down. And he just...
That was right away in the first quarter.
Yeah, that was, I think,
second drive.
Second drive, I think it was. And it was just perfectly drawn up. Good. He just... They completely... The guys on the other side of the line just drop into coverage, and they've completely shifted the wrong directions. And
again.
Unlocked, and he came right in. Sticking with corners, I thought Trey Waynes played great. Did he get the ball thrown on, like, twice? I don't think he gave up a completion.
He had that one really good bat. I think it was a third down.
The
it
drag
was just,
route?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's so damn fast that he just stayed right with him, batted it down.
Christian Kirk, I think.
Two great run stops. One where he just took on Andre Smith.
Yeah.
They did the pitch play, and he literally just blew his legs up, and the running back fell over because Andre Smith's a giant human being, and he's laying in the way.
Big fat man.
And then...
It was same Andre Smith that Vikings
we had. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I just thought... Waynes has always been way underrated in the run game, I thought. Like, I've always thought he's been really good in the run game, and then, you know, I think this whole season he's played pretty well. He just, both times on those deep balls, he gave up one to Brandon Cooks, and then I think one to, I forget who the other one was too, where he's right there, and he just can't quite bat the ball down, and he's just...
But he had that, the one was it Marquise Goodwin? No, Dante Pettis.
Yeah.
First week where he is, you know, fast.
Where he did, he did get that one down, so. I just think Waynes, another guy, did not write down forever giving up a play towards his side, so.
Yeah. Last thing I believe I got down is another great Cousins pregame speech.
Fantastic.
I hope he keeps doing that.
I think this one was even better. Kind of went at the Cardinals. It was hilarious.
I loved it. I want more of it. Give me Kirk Cousins speeches.
And then they keep asking the players about him, and they're just like, the guy's just like, it's all real. He's just like, he's got like a switch. He's the nicest guy, and then all of a sudden he's just, it's like he's in you like that mode, like where he can't even control. Like when, he's talking about smothering Rosen because he's a rookie. And stay on him all game, smother him. It's just like, holy shit.
I shoot, I score. Yeah, it's like, damn.
I'm like looking up that quote, like, that's a good one. I like that shit. So, and Diggs is always front and center. If you watch it, Diggs is just locked in and he's just loving it.
That's his
He's
point.
Like, yeah, eight. Yeah, eight.
Love it. Like,
hilarious.
Watching those pregame speeches, like, it makes me love Kirk Cousins, like, so much.
Because,
you know, he's... You hear all that, like, oh, he's so quirky, like, nerdy.
He just
like,
seems he like he's such straight-laced
so
dude.
So stale everything. But you get that, and it's like, you see why everyone, like, backs him up.
Like, his teammates love him and stuff, you know? It's like...
You get that behind him, you see that.
I think it was big that Joseph had him do that last week, because, like, it was good to see the quarterback kind of be the center of, like, getting everyone fired up, getting the team going. It's just, I think it's good for the whole like chemistry of the team.
It could be the start of the run, you know?
Yeah, maybe it. Yeah, maybe it's that, something.
That, maybe that. Maybe you know? that was the switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to hear that stuff from Kirk because you know everyone always talks about the quarterback being the leader of the team, and all of a sudden, I mean, for how long has Joseph been doing?
I don't know. It must have been a while because everyone, when I were talking about, it, they were all saying, "Oh, LJ usually always does it," but then you know,
yeah, so Joseph
told him to do it,
and I think.
You Griffin know, used to do them a lot too, I feel like.
I think Griffin and Joseph probably passed it because they're two captains.
Yeah.
Two of the three.
I don't know how many we have, but.
I think, anyways.
But yeah, I fantastic, both of them. And that's not even like just because he's cousins and it's our guy. I just thought they were both really good. Just like him just yelling.
Throw a Redskins uniform on him and I'm thinking it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I forgot who tweeted out there. Like, sorry for everything I said about you, Kirk, when I was. Like, under the influence of Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes,
like,
yes, I saw that tweet.
Yeah.
No.
I forgot exactly how, I think it was a girl, she wrote it, but it was,
it was perfect.
Because it's like, me and you love Teddy, but my God, his cousin's played so good. It's just like the best QB.
I think we said it before, like, Teddy's good, but I don't think he can do this, you know?
Maybe not at this point in his career. Like, at least he wasn't doing this. I know he didn't have the weapons and stuff, but like, they're just different. Like Cousins has a rocket arm. They play a
different game. That's for sure.
Teddy has more of that like escapability of the pocket. Not that he's running, but he wouldn't have been strip sacked this many times. I guarantee you that. But
he's a finesse guy, where Cousins is more of like the slinger type.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So
like Teddy moves his way around the pocket, lets the play develop.
Mm-hmm.
Cousins is like, oh, I'm gonna throw him open.
Yeah,
he's
the QB keeper.
Oh, loved that it. Call. Loved it.
Because I think we ran a play similar to the Eagles, but he handed it off. And I was like, oh my gosh, if he just keeps that ball, there's nobody there.
Yeah, I think they all went for
the running back. And then boom, just keeps it. And then it was just, he basically walked in. I mean, he kind of ran around Rudolph.
It's unfortunate we used that on the Cardinals.
Hey, a win's a win. I don't care.
Wow, we could have just used, I'm just saying, higher leverage situation.
Well, next time they're going to have to
defend the run.
So
maybe it's touchdown Dalvin Cook next time.
Let's get Delvin on the field. I'm ready to see it.
You know, if we don't get Delvin for a while, give me more Mike Boone. Give me more Boone.
That looked good out of that on run. Murray looked good too, though. I mean, I know he just doesn't have that explosiveness, but he gets the job done.
You get fours on the field, he's got him.
No Delvin, no Everson Griffin.
2-0. 2-0 without both of them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right,
2-1.
Sorry, whatever we Rams are, game. But I'd like to see him on the field. Two of the funnest players to watch.
Who do we have next week? Because I think that, I mean, you got anything else for this week?
No, that was a good win. Good. I thought we pretty much handled them the whole game, so it's good to see. We did an hour on that game, so we are very long winded lately in these last two episodes. But who gives a fuck?
A lot of talk about when you're winning.
Yeah. I feel like the wins is definitely more fun to talk about than the Buffalo game is probably like 8 minutes of us going, yeah, everyone sucks. They all suck. Let's talk about the next game.
Yep. I can't stand Buffalo Bills quarterback number 17. He's just the worst.
QB 17. So who do we play next? We got the Jets.
Did you read that New York Post article?
Well, they are. Well, at least that writer. My God, what a baby.
Oh, salty motherfucker.
What did he write? He wrote something about, I hope the Jets destroy the classless Kirk Cousins.
Classless?
Oh, because
the only thing classless is that writer.
Yeah, what a fucking crybaby. All because Cousins used you as leverage with the Vikings.
Sorry,
he negotiated his contract. What is he supposed to do?
Just take the best offer.
Whatever, he should just chase money, huh?
Whatever's shown highest dollar first, he should take that.
He took less to come here, and then the guy was so mad that he did that little documentary where he like shows it, and he says to his wife, you know. He says to his wife, you know, Jets offered 3 for 90 or whatever. Now we got to get the Vikings up there, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it's like, that is the real world, dude.
And how do you not expect that? He's going to use the Jets, who can give him the most money. And he's going, I want a team where I can win right now. You know, why would I go from Washington to New York, where I couldn't really win with some decent weapons, where I'm going to go to New York and try and win with no weapons? Well, let's think about this.
And, like, you don't think that, I mean, had the Vikings not came up, maybe he would have went to the Jets. But we got, like, within close enough where it's like, well, clearly this is a way better team. Well, and then he was mad because that cousin said he wanted to go to an organization with, like, great leadership and stuff. It's like, one, that's just normal talk. Like, even DeFilippo said they gave him a game ball for beating the Eagles. He says, you're the hardest working group I've ever been with. It's like, you just won a Super Bowl last year. But you're just saying whatever, like, in the moment you're going to say. So, like, Cousins, no matter where he was going to go, was going to say, this is great leadership here. Yeah. Like, and do I think we do? Yeah, I do think we do. But I think we do, but I don't think it's, like, actually a slight towards, like, anyone specific. And the guy's like, he doesn't even know because he never took a visit. It's
grow
up. He used you guys to get money like any other fucking player would.
I've heard nothing but the best things about, like, that Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles and everything like that. So it's not like... He wasn't taking a shot at the Jets at all.
He was just praising the Vikings.
Yeah, it's not like he said, I preferred the Vikings leadership because I thought they were a lot better organization than the Jets, which were my second choice.
It's like when every player says they have the best fans.
Yeah.
It's like, except for Emmanuel Sanders, who's all mad because they're booing Case Keenum.
and Kiki Hernandez hates the Dodgers fan base. Oh yeah. Real upset about that because they were booing Yasmani Grandal after he won his 28th pass ball since the start of last year.
So I like the guy really writes like, the only thing the Jets fans could want more, you know, is to see Kirk Cousins get his ass kicked by the Jets defense and all this shit.
Said the Jets are better off now and for the future with Sam Darnold over Kirk Cousins. Now and the future. Now.
Like, Sam Darnold could turn out all well and dandy, but you could have signed Kirk Cousins and drafted Saquon Barkley.
No.
Why? Oh, because the Giants took him. So who could they have taken?
Who was the first wide receiver taken? They could have taken Calvin Ridley or Darius Geis.
Okay, but that's like second round. They have the third pick in the draft.
I know. I'm just saying, like, those
Roquan
are the top.
Smith. Guy's a monster.
Denzel Ward.
Yeah, Denzel Ward.
Chubb.
Not that. Okay, Bradley Chubb
would have been sweet on that defense.
If Sam Darnold turns out to be great, well, good for you guys, okay? But
don't tell me you're better off right now with
Laughable. But it's like you guys aren't really going to do anything. Even if you snuck into the playoffs, you're not going to win anything. But it was just a weird article. Like, sheesh, you really this mad because someone negotiated a contract and went to a better team for less money?
Well, like, I don't know. I see a lot of stuff on, like, the New York Post just from, like, you know, a lot of people tweeting stuff from it. And a lot of it just seems like slam pieces. So the New York Post, I mean.
Yeah, the New York Post is very, like, there's a lot of pretty, like, how do you say it? Like, sensationalized articles just to get clicks and stuff. I mean, the headline is the classless Kirk Cousins. Like, okay, buddy. So I hope we beat the shit out of him just for that.
Yep. Screw the Jets. I hope Fireman Ed's there. I don't know.
This seems like another game similar to the Cardinals, similar to the Bills. You're playing a rookie quarterback with a lack of weapons. Both their running backs are...
The Jets
defense
is... They're
good. They're not great.
The Jets defense is probably better than the other two teams.
Yeah. It seems similar to the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals got a pretty decent D. They got Patrick Peterson. They got Chandler Jones. They have pieces, just like the Jets have some pieces. And then the Jets maybe have a slightly better offense because, I mean, Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa, Jermaine Kearse, those are better.
And I think they have a solid offensive line. I don't think they're going to blow you away or anything like that, but I don't think they're an issue either.
But again, you get them into third downs and start confusing Sam Darnold. I mean, because the Buffalo game, we didn't get them to third downs either. They caught us in weird plays. They caught us with strip sacks. Like,
and you catch, like you said, you catch Darnold in third down. I was always... told through the draft process from reading a lot of stuff that Rosen was a better like reader of the blitz and everything.
Right.
He was a smarter quarterback. Mm-hmm. The smartest quarterback.
Diagnosed the play a little quicker and we made him look completely foolish.
So if that's true and still holds true, has to give you a lot more confidence going in.
Yeah. It's a game we should win, even if it's on the road. So,
you know, it's weird. Jets win this football game, they're 4-3.
It's funny, remember after week one, I said they were an actual contender, and then like 2 weeks later, I was like, whoops, my bad.
Yeah.
They're going to hang around, I think.
It seems like
they're
going to
be
in
it.
I think they might actually be like 8-7.
Yeah,
nine,
I didn't say they were going to
be a make playoff.
The playoffs. I just said they would be in the playoff race till like the last couple weeks. So that seems
play,
like,
and they can easily play spoiler the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
because they're that kind of they're mm-hmm. that good of a team.
They're like, and then they're I think they're a team on the rise. They need some more pieces.
Yeah,
but,
and I think they've got they seem to have a lot of fight in them.
Yeah, like I like their coach. He seems pretty good.
I like Bowles. I think he was hired the same year as Zimmer.
Was he? Yeah, that's
I believe
good.
So. Okay. And I preferred Bowles over Zimmer.
Oh, really?
Yep.
He was Arizona?
Arizona's D coordinator. Mm-hmm. And their defense hasn't been the same since he left.
Yeah.
So I was always big on, I was bigger Bowles than I was Zimmer. And obviously you hire Zimmer and you, it's like, oh, well.
Yeah, that worked out.
And it worked out great for 3 years because Todd Bowles and the Jets have not done anything.
So yeah, they've stuck with him though. Which is smart, I think, because you can't just keep changing head coaches.
If you're a rebuilding team, you have to give if you think you've got the right head coach, it's got to be 5 years.
Yeah, if you're going to stick him with Josh McCown for 2 years just while you pick other players, like.
Yeah, if you're not going to let him pick a quarterback, and then he finally can pick a quarterback, and he gets two of them, Darnold and Bridgewater.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, yeah, I don't know. I think we should win this one. I hope. Very similar feeling to the Cardinal game.
I think we'll get a lot of digs this week. I feel like so? This is the digs week.
The digs week.
Because
at some point these coaches are going to be like, okay, fuck this. You can't let Thielen just keep.
There's no way. There's no way people are going to let Thielen pick him apart every week. 10 catches for 100 yards every week.
Yeah,
his
ridiculous.
Worst game this year is 6 for 106 and a touchdown. This is his worst game.
Who was that?
Thielen's.
No, I mean, what game was that?
Yeah. I'm not even
probably
sure.
Probably Buffalo.
No, that game had like 10 catches.
Oh, yeah,
because
they just were coming from behind. Man,
was it the Rams game?
Could be the Rams game. I don't know.
Or the Niners. It could have been the first game of the year.
I just, like, other, yeah, it could have been, yeah. Maybe it was that. But it just feel like other receivers in the league have to be like, okay, coach, how the hell does Adam Thielen get 10 catches every game and you can't get me like three? You know, like the people like Odell and stuff are just like, probably this is getting.
Evans and everyone.
Yeah. But a lot of
Julio
it's because he can
Jones.
Play that
Hold
slot
on.
So well.
Should we
well.
Just go through Nick's fantasy receivers?
Yeah, all his receivers that don't
none
get the
of
ball.
Them seem to get the ball.
It's huge to be able to play that slot though, because you can't. You like if you want to put Patrick Peterson in the slot and follow him, we can do all kinds of different stuff. Because if you're in zone, it's like impossible to shadow a guy. Otherwise, we know you're in man basically. Unless you want to zone Patrick Peterson right there, I don't know. The whole thing just really screws you over when. Someone has that kind of versatility to just like play in, play out.
Yeah,
so. And he's that good. So,
yeah, I just want I want a Diggs breakout game. You know, I want to watch Diggs 7 for 126 and 2 touchdowns.
When Diggs has big games, they're going to be big games, like long touchdowns. Like
it's so fun.
Yeah,
like watching the ball go over, you're going. If you didn't see Diggs take every one, who's that being thrown to? Oh, that's Diggs. That's Diggs. He's going to get it.
Yeah. It's like a mini Moss. The play where we ran the end around to him.
Yeah.
He was so close to breaking that for a touchdown. The guy tripped him from behind. Diggs even got up and was just like, damn it. He got me and he like tapped him on the helmet. Like, you saved yourself a touchdown there. Because it was literally, he just had to like pick a side to go on the block.
Yeah,
and there was no one else
crease,
there.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's, there's not, you know, the Jets. Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams.
Do they have a
Morris Claiborne?
Marcus May?
Marcus May, good player.
Did they sign Tremaine Johnson?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that was
so
the
they
big
had Tremaine
spending.
Johnson and
Morris Claiborne.
I
don't know if they have any big injuries or anything.
And do they still have Buster Skrine? Is he still a good player?
I don't know.
I feel like he was a good slot corner.
I feel like the Jets
years.
Have a lot of like solid players. No, not like a ton of stars. Like, who would you say is a star on their team?
Jamal Adams.
Yeah. Leonard Williams is pretty damn good. Not like...
I think that would probably...
And then Tremaine Johnson's a... He got paid like a star. I don't know if he's that...
He doesn't talk like a top corner or anything like
yeah.
that. So you don't really
Maybe he's
hear
just
him.
Quietly really good. Good, kinda really like, good press corner.
Yeah. Maybe he's like Patrick Peterson, because a lot of people don't call him a top five cornerback in the league anymore, but... He doesn't talk like all the other guys do.
Yeah, so.
And they don't throw
like
at
him. Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Well, that dude talks.
Yeah, and then he doesn't talk when he gets his ass kicked.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid. That was like lame.
A lot of people were like, oh,
yeah.
Mini
dude. Yeah.
But don't know. I kind of like Zane. I like the one word because it's like, I want a quote. Give me a quote for the paper. I can't use this shit. This is all terrible. How am I supposed to write around this? Yeah, we got that. Jets, easy W.
Easy W.
Their IC easy W's.
No road game is easy W. All
the way to the Patriots game, I see easy W. And then easy after dubs. The after Patriots game, I see easy dubs. All the way to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And
easy dub.
It'll be a dub, but not easy.
All right. Should we break?
Yeah, let's take a break. Lines. And then let's go to the lines. And then we'll finish up with a little Jimmy Butler talk.
Yeah, the disaster that is the Timberwolves.
Yep,
since we're here watching the opening night, Philly, Boston. Boston's over. Up Boston beat the shit out of them. There's 17 seconds left. So, all right, we will pause here.
And then we'll get into the Knicks talk. Play the Thunder.
Oh, hey, we're back.
We're back.
We are back.
Trying to figure out who the Warriors play. They're doing the championship ceremony.
Oh, yeah, another trophy.
Yeah, they got the Thunder. Russell Westbrook. Paul George.
Wait, you say they're from the Thunder?
Yeah.
How do you find that out?
I looked
up. Oh, you little Google. Okay. Little Google. All right, so let's jump into picks.
Right on. First game of the week would be the Thursday night game, which is the...
Whoa. Let's talk about last week, our picks.
Oh,
let's
okay.
Let's not just jump right into these picks, because I had a great week.
Decent week.
You went 7-7-1. Yeah. I went 9-5-1.
Ooh.
Hit another 3-team parlay.
There you go. Yep. Another one. The Dolphins didn't blow it.
Yeah. Went to overtime again. Had the Chargers and the Vikings, who pretty much, it was money line again, so they just had to win. But the Chargers, by the time I bet on it, were a pick'em against the Browns, which I thought was insane.
Yeah.
I thought the line was low last week. The Chargers are just so much better, I felt. So, yeah, the Vikings were like 10-point favorites, so they didn't really help. They were kind of my lock one. But, yeah, the Dolphins had to beat the Bears. Sunday, I wake up to fucking Brock Osweiler starting. I already placed the bet, so I had to figure that one was going to lose for sure. And then
it's Brocktober.
Guys out there making plays. They get all the way to overtime. And fucking Kenyon.
Get down to the goal line. Frank Gore carries him down to the goal line. Leaves for one play. He's out for one play, dripping with sweat. He's over there like trying to choke down some Gatorade. And they flip back, and Kenyon Drake jumps.
He's about to get in the end zone, and he just fumbles the ball. Unreal. Dude looked devastated on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Towel over his head. Just
yeah, he had that camo towel over his head. Nobody could see if he was crying or not because it's camo and everything like that.
You text me. You're like, sorry, dude. Like, talking about your bet. I was like, they got this still. I think
the Bears missed
a field goal. Yeah.
But bad miss. Didn't have a chance.
And then the rookie with like no time left for the Dolphins drilled it. Yeah. So, yeah, another 3-team money line.
Prince really enjoyed that game.
Oh, did he?
He was all perched up.
Yeah. Excited. Another, I bet $300 on that one too. Another $1,800 win. So.
There you go.
And then last night, I'm looking at that Packer 49er line. 9.5? Like,
minus 9.5.
The Packers were favored by 9.5. I'm going, I don't know what we had it because I bet you it moved. Let me see what it was on ours when we talked about the week. You know, leading up to the game. What was that?
I think it was 6.5.
It was minus 10. You took the Packers to cover.
Woo!
I took the Niners, and it moved down to 9.5. But I was like, this Packer team shouldn't be favored by 9.5 over anybody. They're not good. And they should have lost.
I believe I said something about pissed off Rodgers. I think that was the only reason why I took
it. Yeah, it was something about that. Well, I've only bet 100 on that game. I think I've made like, I don't know. Like another $95 or something.
I'm on
a hot streak.
I lost my bet.
Bet was awful.
It's like over 40 in the Texans Bills game.
I don't get it. It's the Bills. It
was the Texans.
You thought like
I figured high powered Texans offense. Bills might score 2 touchdowns, maybe just a couple field goals. Doesn't matter. A couple points will help me.
Right, right.
I saw the Texans offense and I go 40. Like, you don't think they're going to score 35 and the Bills aren't going to get fucking 10.
Well, all you need is 21-20. Yeah. All you need is, 28-17, you're over. So, but didn't pan out for you. Sad day.
But I was mad. I was upset.
Okay.
And I did something that I shouldn't have. And I bet the over on the Charger or on the Patriots Chiefs game that night. And I hit the over.
That definitely had to
I hit the over.
Yeah, I should have bet that one. That one makes a lot of sense.
It was over under 60.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, oh, two bad defense. Mahomes and Brady. Let's go. I'm like, well, there's no way I'm going to lose. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to lose on my first day.
Well, overall, we're both over 500.
Nice.
You've only had 1 week where you did worse than 500. You went 6-10 once. I've done that twice, but I've been on a bit of a hot streak, so I'm two games up on you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
45 and 39 with five pushes. You're 43, 41 with five pushes. So
don't bet. Still, if you guys were to bet with us, we both would be winning you money this year.
And if you had copied my three-team parlay, I mean, I put it on Twitter. Yes. I told the people to bet it.
You guys got to follow us on Twitter, at Grapes and Gorak. You'll see some bad thing. Obviously, now, since we're getting more comfortable with it, we'll be, you know, showcasing them a little more. So follow us on Twitter, at Grapes and Gorak.
Maybe I'll try to come up with one on the podcast, try to keep the streak going, you know. Ooh. I like the money line better because I don't like dealing with having to cover.
I see, the cover is a lot of fun, but let me tell you the rush of the over-under.
Well, the over-under is... when you bet the over, it's pretty fun. The under is a little less fun.
Oh, like Big Cat from Barstool always says, life's too short to bet the under.
Yeah, you don't want to bet the under. That's boring. I just, like, I don't want to bet the Vikings, but then they need to cover 9.5 points or whatever it was. Like, I just want them to win. So the Dolphins-Bears game is the one where I thought, this is a classic trap game. Everyone's acting like the Bears are some juggernaut now.
They're going
to go into Miami and get beat by a mediocre Miami team because the Bears are actually mediocre. And that one, I think the Bears were picked by like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So by throwing that into a three-team money line, it the payout's a lot better. Because if you could easily go three-team and just go, well, I want the Vikings by 10.
I want the Patriots.
Picking all the big spreads, but you don't get any, the payout's garbage. So you throw in a pick'em Charger game, which I thought was a ridiculous line, and then you kind of go out of going on a limb. Like the week before, I did the Browns beating the Ravens.
Yep.
Which made it actually pay out decently. So you had a kind of an upset special. But bet with the Grapes and Gordaks. We're making you some money here. Like first it. Game of the week. Do you know the Thursday game?
The Thursday game is a revenge game, but for whom? Oh, the Cardinals and the Broncos. Revenge game, Mike McCoy.
Why is this a revenge game? Oh, my God. Wow. I don't know. Maybe the Cardinals are upset because Case Keenum didn't sign there.
Oh, yeah.
The undisputed starter, by the way. Little grumblings. He's getting booed. I think, did they put Chad Kelly in at all?
They did not put Chad Kelly. They put him in for a knee at the end of the first half, I think.
Okay. A little bend the knee, huh?
Yeah, and then he came in, threw a dart to Demaryius Thomas, and everything was all cool.
The reporters are asking. You know, that's never good when your undisputed starter is being asked if he's...
No, you're a $36 million man.
Not working out too well for them. They're getting the whole Case Keenum, you know, experience without the...
Without the thrill.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they are getting a thrill.
Yeah. What they're missing is the two elite receivers that make you look really good.
True. True. Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, good. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, best duo in the league.
Yeah. So the line here is Broncos are favored on the road by 2 over the Cardinals.
Give me the Broncos.
Don't be peeking at my... Don't be looking at my screen.
I can just see colors.
Who are you taking?
Broncos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I took the Cardinals.
Yeah,
another one where I just, I'm not, I don't, I, not the Broncos aren't good enough to be favored on the road. It's just what I feel like. You're not a good enough team. The Cardinals are bad. I'll give you that. There's a garbage Thursday night game.
I like Broncos defense against Josh Rosen.
I like the Cardinal defense against Case Keenum.
Well,
Patrick Peterson, covered Demaryius Thomas. Your move, Case Keenum.
Phillip Lindsay.
Well, you know, there you go.
The undrafted running back for the Denver Broncos.
No, is he white? I think he's like a
half
mix.
White.
Yeah, he's like a half.
Oh, he's got some like frizzy blonde red.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a white guy's hair.
No, well, the color looks like a white guy's hair, but the way it's, I don't know, Colin's hair doesn't look like a white guy's hair.
That's true. Well, are we sure Colin's not, you know, got a little...
He might be an albino black man.
All right. Next one, Titans at the Chargers. Chargers are a 6.5-point favorite.
Chargers. The Titans are probably one of the most frustrating teams in the league.
Yeah, I feel like every time we bet against them, they win. And then every time we bet with them, they lose.
I'm inclined to agree with you. They're just so inconsistent. And it's got to be so frustrating because, you know, you beat the Eagles, then you lose to the Browns, and then you, who'd they lose to this past week? The Ravens. And then you get shut out at home.
Yeah, they got shut out.
At home.
We both took the Titans.
Rightfully so. They were at home.
And then the week before that, we both took the Titans. They lost to the Bills. The week before that, we both took the Eagles. I got to see, the Titans are killing us. The week before that, we both took the Jaguars.
Oh.
And the Titans.
They at least covered.
And then the week before that, we both took the Texans.
And the
Titans beat them. And
good Lord.
The week before that, we both took the Texans and the Dolphins beat them.
Titans. You said Texans.
Oh, yeah. Basically, every time we've picked the Titans game, we've been wrong. Every single time.
So if you're betting with us.
Yeah. But now we know it.
I'm still gonna go with my gut. Like, obviously, this is my record.
Yeah.
This is my fictional money.
Did you give me an answer? It's Titans underdogs 6.5 at Chargers.
Chargers.
Okay.
Chargers.
Okay. I don't think the Titans are a good team. I like Vrabel.
I think they're not a good team this year.
Yeah, I think they're also going in the right direction. I don't think Mariota's a good quarterback.
I'm starting to feel that way too.
So I'm a little concerned about that. But I like Harold Landry, Corey Davis.
Derrick Henry,
bad at football?
Derrick Henry might be bad at football.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is there. Yeah,
They've got Byard, that safety.
Yeah, yeah.
Was a rookie Adoree Jackson.
Yeah, he's
Malcolm Butler, big free agent signing.
Getting shredded.
The worst rated cornerback in the league.
By what, Pro Football Focus?
Yes.
Yeah, and it looked like the game plan by the Ravens was literally just throw at him constantly. Just Crabtree'll beat him up, so.
And I don't know, it seems like they're playing him outside, when I feel like in New England he always played slot.
Yeah, he was mixing around a lot more.
And I know they have Adoree Jackson. I think he plays slot for him.
Yeah.
So I think Butler's playing out of position.
Maybe.
But that's not my concern. I'm just placing bets against
him. And the Chargers have some pretty damn good weapons. Keenan Allen. That Tyro Williams had 2 bomb touchdowns, I think.
Mike Williams.
So I think the Chargers are one of them.
Austin Eckler.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon.
Melvin. 3 touchdowns.
Flip Rivers. The Chargers, I think, are one of the most talented teams in the league, especially offensively. And even their defense is pretty good, too. So, and I think, their only losses are the Rams and the Chiefs.
So they're 4-2?
They're 4-2, yep.
Damn good team.
Yeah, I like them. So,
and they're only going to get better as they get healthy once Bosa gets back. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it could be anytime soon.
No, I think it's out for a while. But the only problem with the Chargers is just the Chargers. They're very...
I think
you can trust them.
I want to say this year's different.
Yeah. It didn't at first seem that way, but then it was like, oh, wait, those were 2 really good teams and you've won all your other games. So it's actually like, okay, you're 4-2. You're only a game back of the Chiefs.
You've won them pretty handily.
Yeah. You blew out the Browns, which is what you should have done. So
yes, if you're like the Steelers or all the other teams are kind of like hanging around with the Browns.
Or losing to them like the Ravens.
Yeah. Like the... You're,
talent-wise, the Chargers are a much better team, and they at least went out and showed
they're them. Probably top 10 teams in the league, just talent-wise.
I think they might be a top five talent-wise, yeah. I mean, they're good. If they can just stop having terrible kicking and have an actual home field advantage, it might help.
Yeah.
They're literally like handicapped from the start because they don't have a home field. So, next game.
They'll never have a home field advantage. They play in L.A., and L.A. is taken over by the Rams.
Yeah, they're pretty much screwed for
the
foreseeable
future.
They have
to go back to San Diego, though.
Yeah, or move to somewhere completely different. Become
the El Paso El Caminos.
Try to beat Oakland to Ella to Vegas. Just move immediately. We'll play anywhere.
We'll play in the desert. Yeah. Just paint stripes on the dirt. We'll play here.
Raiders fans
folding chairs.
More fans would probably show up and pay for that than their own fans that go to their games.
Fact.
Bills at Colts. Colts are a 7.5-point favorite. At home, Colts are the favorites. Bills are like a schizo team, too. Like, some games they put up a fight, and some games they just fold. I'm also taking the Bills. This one's similar to the Bronco thing. The Colts should not ever be picked by 7.5.
The Colts are at home, though.
Yeah, I get that, but it's still like... The only thing I do see is that the Colts can score. The Colts can seemingly...
But the Bills' best part of them is their defense.
Yeah. I just don't know if, like... if I trust the Bills defense to stop the Colts more or if I trust the Colts to stop the Bills more. I don't know. They're both terrible teams. I'll tell you what, I watched
the 7.5.
Yeah, the 7.5. Like the Colts have to win by more than a touchdown. Like they're not good enough to do that, I don't think. I watched a lot of this game because I was in New York, so it was Colts versus Jets. Those Colts receivers are so bad. They just drop balls constantly. Well, maybe it's because I watched Thielen and Diggs, and like there could be someone draped all over them and they still make the catch. These guys get tapped and they drop it. It's like they just, you know, a guy brushes up against him and they can't make the catch. But
that's got to make you feel pretty good having Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, poor Andrew Luck. I mean, Andrew Luck had some pretty bad plays himself, but he's getting no help. There, so.
And they don't have a running back or running game.
They don't have anything, but they have a good offense because of Andrew Luck.
And yeah, I saw a tweet, I forget who it was, but they're like, Andrew Luck is going to be well into his 30s by the time the Colts have a good are going to be a contender.
Yeah, that roster is so they're far starting out from the, like a empty.
There is no talent. Trust me, I'm them in Madden. There is zero talent.
It's Malik Hooker and Luck.
Yes, that's Ty Hilton.
Oh yeah,
Ty.
Yeah, who's injured?
It's
so.
Yes,
no wonder they were so bad. They were even without him. Oh, is he back soon?
I feel like it's always like he's questionable and then game day, like he's out.
Because 7.5 without T.Y. Hilton is ridiculous. So.
But they have Eric Ebron.
That guy looks good.
Did the Lions not know how to use him?
Yeah, someone tweeted like it's starting to change from like the why did the Lions draft Eric Ebron to why didn't they use Eric Ebron?
Because they really didn't use him. Like they.
It is
how
weird.
He
like
how he should have been used. He like was hardly ever split out.
Yeah, he was like an inline guy. It's like, I don't get it. They drafted Pettigrew and him, both in the first round, and like never really featured him. Or did. Like, Pettigrew seemed like he might just be a bad player. But
you had Calvin Johnson and Ebron.
Yeah.
Or did they draft?
I think Pettigrew was more with Ebron. I feel like Ebron and him might have crossed over. But the one thing is, tight end is a tough position for like a rookie. And like it does seem like it takes a little bit for people. Like even Travis Kelce was like, third season when he actually finally became like
but
Travis
still,
Kelce.
But still, it's Ebron's fifth year.
Yeah, Ebron's been
like,
for a while.
The thing is, like, Ebron showed that he could play. Like, he would make plays. But then they would, when he's in line.
I was never afraid of him, though. I maybe because they didn't, yeah. They just really didn't move him out to the out wide much at all.
I mean, I don't watch much of the Colts, but when I do watch him, like, he's at least, like, moving around. Mm-hmm. They're moving
him
around.
They're spreading it out a lot. They're giving him a lot more opportunities than the Lions ever did, so I don't know.
Which is weird, because the Lions, I mean, think about that Lions offense. If they use Ebron like this.
Like, just to get some
Golden
matchups.
Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Galladay, Ebron, Kerryon Johnson, Matt Stafford.
They still don't even use their players right. Kerryon Johnson is by far their best running back, and they still give Blount 10 snaps a game. So.
Yeah, and for a fantasy player, giving Blount the goal line snaps, really upsetting. Very upsetting.
Next game, Patriots at Chicago. Patriots 3.5 point favorites.
Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots. I think the Patriots are well on their way to being the Patriots again because once they got Josh Gordon and Edelman, their offense is just running on full cylinder, like
and
all
that's,
cylinders.
And it happened at the right time because they showed up. Just as the Patriots normally show up.
Yeah, they kind of, you know, they're getting their team figured out. They're, you know, and all of a
sudden. Who can play where, what,
yeah,
do what.
Just, and now they're just, their defense still is pretty much garbage, but that offense is going to be able to hang with anyone. And the Bears are really going to need that defense to show up to slow down this offense, and there's no way Trubisky's keeping up with Tom Brady.
Not
Trubisky's, even though he threw them 6 touchdowns, he still sucks.
Well, he threw for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Dolphins, though.
Doesn't matter. Guy's terrible. That's the Dolphins. I don't believe in Trubisky at all. I'm gonna die on that hill for sure.
Oh, I'm done with him too. Off my fantasy team. Why would I care about Trubisky?
Got him.
Dude's trash.
You're all about Baker Mayfield now.
You talked me out of Trubisky. I'm in on that. I'm all in on that. So, when I found out he couldn't throw left,
can't throw left. All over. I mean, if the Patriots beat the Bears will now fall to 3-3, exactly where they should be. And they'll probably, if they do end up losing, if they beat the Patriots, maybe they're better than I think. But if they lose the Patriots, I bet you they finish 6-10.
6-10.
6-10 or 7-9.
I would go 7-9, 8-8, but 6-10.
I think they'll struggle to win 5 more games after this if they lose this game.
Well, they'd have 2 against us, both losses. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, who have they beaten? They beat. Let me look at their schedule.
They have beat...
All right, they beat the... Oops, what am I looking at here? They beat the Seahawks, then they beat the Cardinals, and they beat the Bucs. So wow. I would say there's zero quality wins there.
I would agree.
And they've lost to the Dolphins and the Packers. And that Packer game, they beat the shit out of them in the first half, and then they got shredded.
They got shredded by a one-legged Aaron Rodgers.
One-legged Aaron Rodgers and Jashaun Kaiser for like a quarter and a half. They lost to Brock Osweiler. And I believe they had Josh Rosen's.
That was just the final drive.
Yeah. So yeah. They pulled Bradford for the final drive. You got to go against Rosen's first drive ever. Horrible timing.
Bears were down for three.
They were. They were losing that whole game. They were losing that. Because the Bradford had like his only good quarter of the season. He came out and threw two quick touchdowns. It looked like they were doing good. So, and then they got to play the Bucs as soon as the magic died. I mean, so I just think. But they have the Patriots this week. So say they drop to 3-3. Then they have the Jets at home and then the Bills on the road. So they could quickly.
I feel like
they could split that, though. I feel like they could easily lose to the Jets or even the Bills on the road. Yeah. They could be 4-4. Then it's Lions, Vikings, Lions.
Shit, could be 3-5.
They have the Rams.
They're not winning five more games.
Five more games. They beat the Bills. They beat the Lions once. They beat the Giants. And they beat. Yeah, I got 3-6-10.
6-10 if they don't beat the Patriots. But if they beat the Patriots, they got confidence and they can get on a roll.
I feel like if they beat the Patriots, they're better than I think. If they lose the Patriots, they're what I think, and I think they're a 6-10 team. They are great defense.
Do think this Patriots game makes or break their season.
Yeah, I think
they've got all the confidence.
And they're going to go play the Jets at home. That could be another easy win if you're coming off a Patriot win. You're feeling really good.
Yeah.
Now you're 5-3. You're going on the road to the Bills. You could beat them. You're 6-3.
Yeah. And then you're going on the bye. You got, like you said, Lions, Vikings, Lions.
Yeah, if you're 6-3 going, I mean, you've only got to win a couple more games to get at least in the hunt. The NFC doesn't look as good this year as we thought.
Because say you 6-3, lose to the Lions. I don't know if it's Lions at home. Or on the road, but you're 6-4
at home.
Call it a loss. 6-4. Then you've got the Vikings at Soldier Field, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're still feeling pretty good about that game because you're all hyped up because the division. You always play the Vikings well at Soldier Field.
Yeah, they always somehow find a
way at Soldier Field in general. Boom. Win that game 7-4 going to Thanksgiving. Detroit. Boom. 8-4.
They're not going to win them all, but. They could go on a roll. Like they could definitely go on a roll. They got three of the AFC East teams right in a row here, and they play the only good one right away. But wait, they play all four AFC teams in a row?
Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, Bills.
Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, Bills, yep. That's ridiculous.
How was the schedule maker able to do that?
I don't know.
You know, I feel like the odds of that being able to work out are slim to nil.
That's kind of funny. And then they play the Lions two times the next 3 weeks after that. Like,
I want to figure out how many times that's happened.
Where a team played a whole division right in a row. Probably never. But yeah, if they lose to the Patriots, I could see them splitting with the Jets and the Bills and their season just going awry. I just think it was like a premature how quickly people were crowning them as like, well, they're probably going to make the playoffs. They're like the cream of the North and all this stuff. It's like
one team,
they're 3-1.
One power ranking at them like in the top five already and everything. Yeah. So he is dumb.
They have a bad offense, below average offense, and then people are acting like their defense is the only, like, well, their only good defense in the whole league is basically the Bears, you know?
They're talking like it's the 85 Bears.
Yeah, it's okay. They're pretty good.
Yeah, Khalil Mack, which helps a lot.
And a pretty good player. Like, you're a good defense, but let's not act like you can't have bad games and you just gave up 30 to Brock Osweiler. So,
Clearly, there's things to be worked out on both.
The season always evens out a little bit, you know. Everyone's acting like the sky's falling for us because we're 1-3-1, and acting like they're shoo-in. Yeah,
guilty as charged,
panicking. All right, let's jump to the next one. Panthers at the Eagles. Eagles are a 5-point favorite at home.
I'm gonna take the Eagles at home.
Eagles kind of did they didn't bye week?
I believe
they so. They were on a bye, coming off a loss to us. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare for the Panthers. I'm going to take the Panthers. I think it's going to be a close game. I still feel like the Eagles. I don't know if they have it. I don't know if they have it.
I don't think they do this year?
Jay Ajayi on IR now.
I'm going to go past the players. I feel like losing DeFilippo and Frank Reich in the same offseason. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's tough.
That's
two great offensive minds, and it's really their offense that hasn't mm-hmm. gotten going. Their defense has played pretty well.
And even their defense has lost some pieces, so they're not as strong back there. They can't, you know, Wentz is still coming back. It just seems they seem off. It couldn't handle winning. You know, they won a Super Bowl, now they don't know what the fuck's going on. Their fans don't even care. They're just booing and right. They couldn't handle winning. A bunch of degenerates, you know. So
yeah. Hey, Panthers. At least they still have Villanova basketball.
I kind of think the Eagles are going to win, but I feel like it'll be like a 3-point game.
So I feel like it's one of those like 24-20 games where like I just blew it.
I just picture like Cam Newton on the road hanging with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Something weird.
See, like five and a half's a lot.
Five.
Still.
Yeah. What's the difference there? Five and a half.
It's a lot. It's tough.
Panthers, did they just lose? I feel like they just lost.
Yeah, they lost to the Redskins.
Yeah, see, Panthers are another team that's just up and down, up and down. Like
always
have. They could have easily lost to, who was it Graham Gano made the field goal against?
Who was that?
Let me look. I feel like it was a bad team. Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, easily could be 3-3 right now.
They're 4-2?
I think they're 3-2 because they had a bye week.
Okay.
McCaffrey, yeah, because he's on my fantasy team and we missed him for a week. So, yeah, I just, another team that, I like them. I don't think they're, I really think it's just the Rams that are the elite team in the NFC. The Saints are pretty close there too. But really, I just think it's the Rams. I think it's going to be Rams, are going to be the clear one seed, and then where everyone else is going to be battling for the two. And then even the wild cards this time could be, could there be a 9-7?
I was just going to say, we were talking about all year, it's going to have to be 6-10.
Does any team have, besides the Rams with zero, does any team have one loss?
No.
I think everyone has at least two.
Yes.
So we're a game at a second. The
Saints are 4-2.
Oh, no, the Saints have one loss. They have not lost since week one.
I thought they lost.
I think they're 4-1.
Did that? Then they must have had a like close game their week two.
They looked. Yeah, they almost lost to, I think, the Browns week two.
Yes, and also the Falcons.
Yeah, they almost lost to the Falcons.
Okay, so yeah,
they're
yeah.
I'm not gonna say a weak 4-1, but they've definitely almost lost to a couple teams.
You know, but just like last year, they're a good team. They're on a roll.
They're a team that can put some games together.
Yeah. It's a scary team. Yeah. And we said it before the season started. We're really worried about the Rams, the Saints. We grouped the Eagles in there, but it was the Rams, Saints, and Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just down to the Rams and Saints. And I don't think those teams are going anywhere.
Yeah. And the other teams that was kind of like the ones that you thought, okay, they'll probably make the playoffs and be those like the 10-6 wildcard teams. Falcons, they're toast. The Panthers don't look all that dangerous. They look about the same as last year. The Packers look worse than last year. It's just no one jumping up there. Like the NFC East is weak.
No, I think 9-7 wins that division. 9-7, 10-6.
And then the NFC West, it's the Rams and no one. I mean, the
Seahawks have two wins?
3-3. But
God, I hope they don't sneak in at 9-7.
They're not.
Like that's just an ugly. Could you imagine? Unless we get the 3 seed and end up with them,
that'll be great. It could be a thing where they do get some wins because the Cardinals and 49ers are so bad.
Yeah.
Well, 49ers, there's another team that we thought, okay, they could be decent. Well, as soon as they lost Garoppolo, they're 1-5. They're toast. I mean, so.
Which, I mean, I know you don't want to wait, but you get another high draft pick after securing your quarterback. Yeah,
and you weren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. So, yes, it sucks. And you don't want your quarterback
You're better off getting a top 10 pick than you were in that sandwich, you know,
yeah, getting 11 like to 17 or something. But having to watch your quarterback not play and sit kind of sucks.
Yep, fact.
But who knows? They'll tank, get another pick. C.J. Beathard will light it up. They'll trade him for another pick. You know, what are you going to do?
Kyle Shanahan, quarterback.
Yeah, he's just going to. Next game, Lions-Dolphins. There's no line on this game. Do you know why?
It's push.
No, I mean, there's no line. You can't bet it right now.
Really?
Well, they don't know who the Dolphins quarterback is.
Oh.
Apparently, the difference between Brock Osweiler and Tannehill is actually something, even though
it's worth something, huh?
Yeah, the line moved like 4 points when Osweiler went in.
Really?
It's like Tannehill sucks too. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, it's Brocktober. The line should go up.
So
we can't bet that.
We can't bet it. My guess. What do you
think? If we want to just go money line on that?
Yeah, we'll just pick a winner.
And it was right. Dolphins.
It's Dolphins at home against the Lions. So the Dolphins just took down the Bears.
I'm going to take the Lions.
I'm also taking the Lions.
Taking the Lions. This is another coming off a bye.
Yeah, it's another one of those even out things. I think that the Dolphins aren't good, and they're not gonna, and the Lions aren't that good either. But
I think they're a better team.
Off a bye, their
offense is give me Stafford over whoever the hell.
Yeah, Miami and it just seems like there. The NFL is this year is a lot of who can outscore who because of the way the rules have been with like the quarterback thing. I mean, yeah. The guy in the Chiefs game just let Brady score. Did you see that? Like, they're not calling holding. Like. So I think the Lions can outscore the Dolphins where the Bears couldn't because the Bears don't have as good an offense as the Lions. So I actually think maybe the Lions are the second best team in our division.
I like that because they're trash.
Yeah, I think our division's bad.
Our division is bad.
I mean, it's annoying that the Packers have Rodgers because they always like last night when the 49ers were up by 7 late, I'm like, they're not winning. Packers are winning this because Rodgers will just somehow do it. But that's a bad team, too. I don't know. The Lions have a really good offense, so I think they can win some games. Just, if you play a bad team, you outscore them. Screw it. So we're both taking the Lions?
Yep.
All right. Vikings at the Jets. What do you think the line is?
4.5 Vikings. Us,
3.5. So we're pretty close. Pretty close.
I wanted to take that. I was thinking 3.5. Okay.
What do you got?
Vikings.
I got Vikings, too. I think...
Give me Vikings by 17. Not on a money, not on a betting line though. Just for a prediction.
God, I'd love to blow someone out. You know,
I thought it was gonna be this Arizona game.
Yeah, we just
it'd be fun to kick somebody's ass in their house though.
Yeah,
like go to New York and just beat the shit out of them.
That's always the best. They leave the field just
all of a sudden it's halfway. There's 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter and 2/3 of the stands are gone.
Skull chanting going game. On. Yeah, those are the best. So we both got Vikes. I think 3.5s.
I bet. Feels a little low. If you took the Vikings every week the rest of the week, you probably win a lot of money. Or rest of the year.
So. Yeah.
Probably win a lot of money. Just throwing that out there.
They did not cover last week. They pushed on ours. It was a 10-point line. Oh, no, they didn't push. They didn't get it. It was 10.5 when we bet it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it might have moved down to 10, though. Next game, Bengals at the Chiefs. Chiefs are a 6-point favorite. Kind of a good game, Bengals-Chiefs. I like that.
I'll take the 6 for the Chiefs at home.
Got the Chiefs,
right at, Chiefs at covering? Arrowhead? Yeah.
It's at Arrowhead,
Chiefs
yeah.
cover at Arrowhead.
I got the Bengals hanging with them.
Think they'll scrap?
Yeah, I think this might be a game where someone actually slows down the Chiefs a bit.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Well, wasn't that the Patriots?
Patriots didn't slow down the Chiefs. I mean, they out. Yeah, I got you over my head there. They certainly just instead of slowing them down, we're just like, all right, screw it. Like, we're just going to outscore you. We're going for that. They basically were like, we wanted you to score fast so then we could score right after it.
That was a fun finish. That was a scorigami.
Yeah, I saw that. That was, yeah. Did you watch that video on YouTube about the scorigami?
No.
Oh,
no,
it's that John. What's his name again? The guy that
boys.
Yeah, the guy that did the Barry Bonds thing and all that.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch that. There's a Twitter account.
Yeah, I saw the Twitter account because he always likes them and stuff because he did a whole video on it.
Yeah, he liked.
If you click on the Scorigami website, they have it says like invented by John Boys because it's just
okay,
like
a, good deal. So, but it's funny whoever does that like they've got a count of like how many times that score has actually happened in the game.
Oh really?
Like one I've. Like the 23-16,
yeah.
That's happened like 1,034 times.
That's crazy. Like, so scorigami is, in case nobody knows, it's
a score, an
ending score. So what was the end of the Patriots-Chiefs game?
43-40.
That's the first time that's ever happened, that an NFL game has ever ended 43-40.
Yeah, which is weird. I mean,
it doesn't sound like it would be that. And I think 47-40 was another one. My guess is 40 is a tough number to land on maybe. Or you think 43 and 47 are?
43 and 47 are for sure.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because usually you would hit 42 or 49.
Yeah.
Or 45.
Or 40, 47.
47
even
is
four,
hard.
Even 40 yeah. is tough, because that's four touchdowns, four field goals.
Yeah,
you that's have to a, score. That's you got to score on eight possessions. Yeah.
So, scoregami.
Once you get to the 40s, a lot of it's scoregami.
Yeah, yeah. 40s to 40s is yep. a difficult one to get to. All right, Bengals, I have you of Chiefs. Next game is the Browns at the Bucks. Bucks are a 3-point favorite. Basically, they say they're even teams.
Yeah, I'll take the Browns.
I also took the Browns.
I'll take the Browns.
This is one where Jameis Winston sucks. The Bucs suck.
Are you kidding me? He threw for 400 yards against a soft Atlanta defense.
Yeah, the guy makes mistakes, though.
And the defense for the Browns is pretty good this year. And Baker Mayfield, like, how can you pick against Swagger Mayfield?
He makes a lot of mistakes, too.
Yeah, but he's
makes
fun.
A lot of plays. Yeah, he's a rookie. So.
What I really like about the Browns is, like, in all three of his starts, he's thrown, like, 35, 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Like, just just throw him into the fire. Trial by error.
Yeah, just get him out there throwing. Let him make the mistakes this year.
Exactly.
Know? That way he's not making them in year four like Jameis Winston is.
Famous Jameis. Eating W's. That is still, like, the weirdest fucking prep talk ever.
No Kirk Cousins.
Don't have
to take some notes.
Oh, my God.
Fucking idiot. All right. Next one, Texans at the Jags. Jags are a 5-point favorite. Can I just say that Jags-Cowboy game, fucking weirdest. How did that happen? We literally were like, there's no way. Why even play Jalen Ramsey? Like, who's he going to cover? And they beat him 40-10 or something?
40-7?
Whatever
it was. 7 or 10? I don't know.
Atrocious. The Jags have been up and down, too, all season.
Like, yeah, they're 3-3?
Yeah, that division is – the Texans are tied for first. They were
so are the Titans. They're 3-3.
Titans are leading that division because I think they beat the Texans.
4-2, 3-3.
No, 3-3.
Yeah, because they did beat the Texans.
Then the Jags are 3-3. You know what's funny? Everyone was before the season was like, that could be a really good division. You know, you got the Jags, the Texans, Titans are on the rise, and it's the same shitty division it always is. Everyone's gonna finish with a shitty mediocre record.
10-6, 9-7.
Yeah, they're lucky to get a 10-6. It'll be a division winner that's 9-7 or something. It's just
because the Texans, I mean, like you said, they've won 3 in a row, but they also did lose their first 3. So don't know which game, which team you're
going
to
get. They
barely
beat the Cowboys. I mean, they went to overtime, I think, that game. Where Watson
didn't they go to overtime the week before against the Colts?
Colts, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean,
they need extra periods to win games.
Yeah. Just bad. So who do you have in this game? Texans are underdogs.
You said 5.5.
Five. And it's the Jags at home.
Texans.
And maybe it's just Bortles is bad.
Texans.
I took the Jags.
Yeah, I want to take the Jags too. I took the Texans.
Okay, because I feel Jags coming off a beatdown. Texans, are they really going to win 4 in a row? I think they're due for
a loss.
Taking
the Jags. No, I'm taking the Texans.
Take the Texans.
The Texans. This is the one that's going to screw me. You know, if I switch to the Jags, the Texans are going to cover.
You know, no matter what you do, no one's going
to... You know, I'll win you some money. I'm sticking with the Texans.
Thank you. Next, Saints at Ravens. Another pretty good game. Ravens, 2.5-point favorite.
Saints.
Yeah, I got Saints.
They're going to win that game.
I think this might be one that I throw into a parlay because I just like the Saints, and I don't really like the Ravens. No. They shut out
the Titans at home, which is tough.
And they lost to the Browns. Like, I don't get it. They're all over the board. Yeah. They're 4-2.
I know.
They're better than I thought so far.
But they almost blew the game against the Steelers.
They've only given up 77 points so far this season.
In 6 games?
Yep.
And like half of those came against the Steelers, I think.
Well, I think they shut out the Bills week one? They beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, I don't know if they shut
the only out. Other team to give up less than 100 points so far is the Bears, and they played one less game than them. The Bears have played one less game.
Yeah.
77 freaking points.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, we've given up
a lot.
148.
Don't ever say that again.
So, twice? More than twice what the Ravens have.
Jeez.
So maybe the Ravens can slow down the Saints. Certainly going to be rooting for the Ravens. Maybe I won't bet on that one just because I don't want to, you know, have mixed emotions. Because obviously we want the Saints to lose, keep them back from running away. But I'm going to take the Saints.
God. The Ravens would be such an ugly, like, in my mind, an ugly 5-2 team if they were to come out of the Saints game with the W. Like,
but if you beat the Saints, I mean, that's a quality win.
Oh, yeah.
So 5-2 with a win off the Saints, I mean.
I mean, you know, the Ravens are always, you know, an 8-8, 9-7 team. But this year, like, their pack of scrub receivers that they signed are actually pretty good.
John Brown's working out. Crabtree's working out. Sneed, they're all, yeah. They gave him a, yeah, like, we're just going to sign all new receivers and they're going to be just like retreads. And they've all been like, they're like professional good receivers. Yeah. And they worked well together. You got like the speed of John Brown, the route running of Crabtree. And you've got and like six different tight ends.
Shore hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're using the Waconee kid, Max Williams.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the rookie tight ends that they've drafted too. I mean, they've got different guys. It's weird because none of them are like, none of their players in offense are like great. Their running backs are no-namers. Like,
I'm trying to like think of a team that you can compare them to, whichever sports, but they just all do their job, you know? They're not like all great at everything. They're all really good at one thing, you know? Like, they all.
Their offense reminds me of the Jets. The Jets don't have like a as competent quarterback yet because Flacco's a professional. But just like no stars, but all very professional, good players. Just you know, like Robbie Anderson's the deep guy. They have John Brown. You got Quincy Enunwa. I don't know. It's just like they're not like the Colts receivers.
Buck Allen and Alex Jones or Alex Collins complement each other pretty well.
So I don't know. It's
they did a pretty good job constructing that offense and through free agency, which is tough to do.
And I guess if you're only giving up 77 points in six games,
you gotta be doing something, right? You don't
really need much of an offense anyway.
No, you're only giving up 11.5 points a game.
That's insane. That division's good. 2-4-2 teams. The Steelers are 3-2-1, and the Browns are 2-3-1. So, I don't know. Next, Cowboys at the Redskins. Redskins are 1.5 point favorites.
Cowboys at the Redskins. Yeah, I'll take the Redskins.
Taking the Redskins too. I can't figure
out. Oh, yeah. Well, that no-brainer. No-brainer. You're
not picking the Cowboys.
Not picking the Cowboys all year.
Well, don't worry. You don't have to pick the Raiders either because they don't even play this week. I don't get the Redskins. I don't get the Cowboys either. I don't know how they won that game. And then the Redskins, would we watch them play? Who'd they play? Saints. Because Breeze set the record. I mean, Alex Smith looked horrible. Their whole team looked abysmal.
3-3 and leading the division?
Yeah, they're 3-3. They lead the division, and I think they're 3-2. Yeah, 3-2 with a bye week. And they just beat the Panthers, like a quality Panther team. And I think their other win was they beat the Packers.
They beat the Packers. Which,
decent win.
But they shut Rodgers down for the most part.
Yeah, it was a pretty handle win. Like, they didn't mess around with that game. I don't know who their other win is. Their third win. I feel like it's a bad team, like the Cardinals or something.
Did they play the Cowboys already? Did they beat the Cowboys already?
No, I don't think so. But
Giants, maybe? Oh, yeah. Doesn't matter.
But, yeah, they just seem like a Redskins-Cardinals. Redskins, yeah, so the Redskins, they beat the Cardinals.
They beat the Cardinals. Week one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just a weird team. I can't get them. I feel like they're going to finish 8-8, and they're going to have like a bunch of really good wins and a bunch of really bad losses, so. Next one is the Rams at the 49ers. Rams are a 10-point favorite.
Give me the Rams.
Rams. I'm taking the Rams, too. Last week, I took the Broncos, and it was a close game, Broncos-Rams.
Yes.
So they didn't cover. I think it was a spread was just as big. It was, where was the Rams? It was only 7 in Mile High. 10 this time against C.J. Beathard and the boys. But I think the Rams blow them out this time.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sean McVay said the cold weather didn't bother his players, but it bothered his brain. He didn't do a very good job calling the game. So
took the fall.
Oh yeah,
that's a good way to do it. Why not?
And they even won. He's going. Yeah, you know, the cold. It wasn't the cold. It was me. Hmm. Yeah, you know, anyone else will blame the cold or anything use an like
excuse
that.
Or not even really talk about it because they won 5-0.
Sean McVay.
What is their schedule coming up? Are they just going to run
the table? They're just going to run the table, dude. I don't think they play many tough teams. Well, they've got a first place schedule. So they play the Eagles, us, and the Saints.
Have they played the Saints yet? No. No, they haven't. So they play the 49ers, then the Packers. That'll be a good game. Then the Saints. So maybe they lose one of those two games. It's at home against the Packers. So on the road against the Saints, it's going to be a hell of a game.
I think they lose against... They lose in the Superdome.
I kind of love that, though. Like, the Packers play the Rams. One of them is losing. So yeah. Either we get further ahead of the Packers or the Rams come back in the pack a little. Then they play the Saints. One of them is losing. Okay. Then it's Seahawks. Then Chiefs at Rams.
Ooh. That one is going That's to be a hell of a so game. Much fun. That's going to be good. I wonder if that gets flexed out to, like, a night game.
Oh, I'd hope so. Oh, it is a night game. It's 11. It's a 7:15 game, so I don't know. It must be. It's either a Thursday night or a...
Well, what's the date? Is it closer?
It's the November 11th or November 19th.
November 19th?
It's a Monday nighter. Ooh. We'll do a podcast.
We'll be recording game. Yeah,
that's definitely recording for that one. So they actually have a pretty tough schedule. Packers, Saints, Chiefs, and then they still have the Eagles too on there.
Good deal.
Yeah, so not complete. Like they could lose three games, four games. I mean, that'd be losing all the tough games.
That'd be 13-3, but...
Yeah. I'd be pretty surprised if they don't win.
We Barney over there, Prince?
Yeah, Prince is over here snoring, sleeping very oddly, too. Yeah. I think they've got 12 games locked in. Look at how he's laying. He's like twitching. He's like dreaming. Like, he's like chasing a squirrel or something.
Half on the blanket, half off.
Look at him fucking twitching. All right. Maybe he hears us talking about him. Next one. Final. Monday nighter. This is a hell of a Monday night game. You definitely want to tune in for this. Combined, you're looking at three wins total. Giants at the Falcons.
Ooh.
Yeah, get ready.
Can't wait to record Eli, Matt, Ryan. One.
Couple real stiff quarterbacks.
Oh yeah, they can't move.
6-point favorites. The 1-5 2-4 Falcons.
Give me the Falcons. They are that. I mean, I think 6 points is a lot, but like
I'm taking the Giants. Something's got to give. These Giants aren't this. They're bad. They're bad.
No, they are this bad.
They're bad,
dude. They cannot move the football.
They almost beat the Panthers.
Unless they give it to Saquon Barkley,
that's what they're gonna do. You think the Falcons can stop them? They don't even have players to get on the field.
They don't have Deion Jones, do they?
Yeah, they don't have Neal. They don't have Devonta Freeman. I think the Giants are going to pull this out. I might even throw them into a parlay. Money line. Get that wager up.
It's D-U-M. Dumb.
That's what they said about that Dolphins over the Bears pick, you know.
Oh, I loved it. My Miami Dolphins.
You took the Bears. That's okay. You know.
Well, yeah, of course I took the Bears.
Oh, I counted that as a win for you. Hold on.
Damn, that's 6-8-1.
You had to bring up that, and I had to double check it. Yeah, let me adjust that on your total here. Piece of
shit. I'm 500 on the
year.
Oh,
yeah, you went under that week.
Mother trucker.
42-5. You're okay.
I just called them my Miami Dolphins because you called them my Miami Dolphins on the last podcast.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, so that's just why I said it.
Why did I say that? Are you a big Dolphin fan?
Well,
I said they were a fraud after they were 3-0, right?
Yeah.
And then they lost two, and now they just won, so they're 4-2. They're still a fraud. I mean, they'll hang around like the Jets, but they're not getting in the playoffs. Can you imagine if Tannehill got in the playoffs? Jesus.
Hey, it happened once Ponder before. Happened
once. Tannehill made a playoff game?
Yeah, remember?
No.
Against the Steelers? But then Matt Moore came in?
Because Tannehill sucked or got hurt?
No, because he got hurt the week before. There's a whole Ponder
scenario. So Tannehill didn't get a playoff game. Well, just lied.
He got to the playoffs. You're right. My bad.
I mean, I don't remember a Tannehill playoff game, is what I was trying to say. I remember those Matt Moore ones. Those are good games. So that's the games of the week. I don't know. I think I don't see any obvious bets here. So, you know, I'll post it on Twitter. You know, but I got to have one. You know, you got to throw it out there. I'm playing with house money at this point, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
On that 2 weeks ago, I bet all the money in my account. The 300, I was down to 300. Ah, fuck it. Let's just throw it out there and we'll do it. Now I'm back up to like $3,000 in my account.
So there we go. Well, that's working
well. So should we talk about our boys, the Timberwolves? Wrap it up with that.
Yeah, my dad can turn off the podcast now. He doesn't like the Wolves.
Doesn't like them always, or doesn't like them because we're a disaster.
Always. Oh. Just doesn't like basketball.
Well, it saves him a lot of, you know, dealing with an embarrassment of a franchise.
Yeah, that's true.
So since we recorded,
did you see what? Yeah, we'll start with that.
We recorded, Jimmy Butler went to practice. Basically,
talked a bunch of shit.
Yeah, told the GM, "You fucking need me." Grabbed the third stringers and kept beating the first string. Apparently, talked shit to Cat and Wiggins and all of them. It felt very all set up to me. I mean, he had ESPN in town to do an interview afterwards. It was like, I don't know. You know, everyone's clearly his own guys are leaking to the media. Not he was talking about like what he wonders what player leaked it. It's like, dude, they're calling you a tour de force and like saying good things about it. Like, dude, that's clearly your own agent leaking that shit to them. But whatever. Yeah. That whole thing was weird. And
the interview was terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
he's just like, I'm a competitor. I'm a winner. Like, I just, it's just what happens. I haven't played basketball in a long time. It's just what happens. It's like what are you talking about?
I don't know. I like him as a player, but like,
yeah,
as a person, like his mindset, I don't think it's in the right spot for.
And like, you'd have to have a whole team of like lunatics like him. Like, does he not think he's going to go to another team? There's going to be like.
Dude's perfect for like LeBron and Lance Stevenson. And all yeah, that. Just like fits in perfect with them.
Then he's talking. You know, it's like it's just really just crazy. What the hell's happening? And now he's gonna play.
Oh my god!
Tomorrow on the road. I kind of feel like it's also like really. It could make us like good. This could go like one or two ways. Like one.
We're going to be good. I have zero doubt in my mind that we're going to be good with Jimmy Butler on this roster. It's just how long is he on this roster?
Well, that obviously, because it sounds like they kind of made a deal. Like Glenn Taylor's like, I will still keep trying to trade you if you just show up and play games. I just wonder, like, it could go badly where like no one gets along and like chemistry shit, or. Butler's a psycho and is like, I'm just going to fucking dominate and show people what's what. And then you also have Kat and Wiggins who are kind of like, this guy's basically calling us out, wants to leave because he doesn't like us, like thinks we don't care enough. Like, yeah, I mean, his whole interview, it's basically like, I care too much.
The effort and everything that. Like,
check me, you know, like,
I give it every play. Like,
yeah, it's like, who are you referring to? You're clearly referring to the other teammates of yours, you know? So like, and I'm sure it ain't the other Bulls former guys. You know, it's probably Kat and Wiggins, the two guys
Definitely not Taj and D-Rose. So, like, D-Rose.
Does it sort of light a fire under these two guys? And all of a sudden, not only are we... Like, this is like...
Or are they just young kids and are going to...
Yeah, and they're just built differently and it's not going to work. But, like, in, like, the... super unlikely, but, like, in, like, the craziest way, like, could it be this great thing that happens where, like, they all, like... start to play really well, they start winning, and all of a sudden it's like, actually we're pretty good, maybe we're like, what if we're like, it's probably not gonna happen, it's crazy to say, but like, what if all of a sudden we're like in the 2 seed or the 3 seed, like, is he then still like, trade me, or is it like, actually, like, these guys are busting their ass now, I think they sort of get it now, like,
let's wait till after the season, like, maybe I will take all your money,
yeah, like, I don't,
but like, I just want to see like how we finish it out. I don't know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough season, though, without Jamal Crawford.
That guy sucked. Without Jamal Crawford?
Dude.
That guy comes in and doesn't pass? You got Tolliver.
Got to have the chemistry.
Oh, you think he's like the... He was the key cog keeping these guys together?
Oh, yeah.
He ran out of town so fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, he just signed.
Yeah, he opted out of a contract. He's making less to go play somewhere else.
Oh, he's making less?
I would be shocked if he's not making less. I think he opted out of like a $9 million deal.
Yeah, but the Phoenix Suns have money.
Oh, maybe they had to hit the minimum. Is that where he went, to the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah. Sheesh. I know, I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you serious? You went to the Suns?
Yeah, it's for the veterans minimum. He didn't want to be here.
Why not? Why does nobody want to play with us?
He probably sees that Kat and Butler and Wiggins don't get along, and he's like, I am out of that place. That is fucking nuts.
I am not touching that
one. But it's like, we're better. I think we're a better roster than we were last year. Barely. Because I do think Tolliver helps. The rookies, whatever, a year together.
Tolliver over.
Like, what did we lose? We lost.
Lost Bielitsa.
Yeah, like Tolliver better. We lost Crawford. But, like, D-Rose will be here the whole time, and I think he's better.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like a little bit better, but
everyone's a year older. Hopefully, a year better.
And we were the 3 seed when
we had
before he got hurt. Like, why could we not get off to a good start? Now again, it could easily go the other way and it completely implodes. But
just,
I like this way more though than us just trading him.
Oh,
because we can get that Heat deal in a month. Probably. Unless Butler blows his ACL or something, and then who knows what the hell happens. But if he plays and plays well, I think his value is only going to go up. And at least it'll be fun watching us instead of just trading and then being like, oh, great, now we're like a fringe playoff team, probably not even a playoff team. We're back to like the 9, 8, 10, we're going to be pretty good for a while as long as it doesn't implode, which is, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. It'll be fun to see if Jimmy gets booed. I just think it'll be, it's just interesting. I don't know. I think it's going to be like, I want to go to that opener. Like, we got to get to, when is the opener? Is it Friday? I'm going to look it up. No idea. Because I feel like I definitely want to go to that.
That'd be crazy.
I'm not going to boo Butler, but
people are definitely going to boo him, but I wouldn't.
We play the Cavs on the 19th.
The 19th? What is that?
That's Friday.
That's 3 days away. That's Friday.
It's a Friday night, Ryan. what are you doing Friday night, Ryan?
I'm not a planner, so I have nothing
planned. Clear your schedule.
Clear my schedule.
We got Kevin Love coming to town.
Oh, Caleb. Revenge game for Caleb, maybe?
Oh, revenge game for Wiggins.
Revenge game for Wiggins. They didn't even want him on their team. Traded him before he even suited up. Revenge game for Wiggins. Wiggins drops 17 on their ass.
I feel like we murder them.
Oh, definitely. Oh,
okay, so like Jimmy Butler gets booed.
He's pissed.
He's fucking loving this right now. He thinks it's hilarious. We boo the shit out of him during they announced the starters. Okay, now all of a sudden he's got 34 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds, and we're you know, up 10 in the fourth. I feel like the fans have already switched.
Oh, yeah.
And they're cheering.
Like, definitely. Everyone's freaking out when he touches the ball. Yeah. He scores and everything. He scores, everyone gets out of
it. I don't know. It's going to be the weirdest season.
I'm just thinking back watching him last year, the four games we went to.
Yeah.
He was always so much fun to watch. Like,
he's a beast.
Just watch him. You watch him on defense, no matter where he is. Him and Kat, I don't take my eyes off any two other players. I watch Kat and I watch Butler. I don't watch anyone else. Don't care what anyone else is doing. If somebody else has the ball. Give it to them.
Maybe it's just all long con. Jimmy Butler's sitting there and he's going, how can I get these young fucking, you know, not lazy, but just lackadaisical guys. How can I light a fire under them?
What I'm going to do is not going to take their contract.
I'm going to demand a trade. I'm going to
take the scrubs.
I'm going to take the scrubs and beat their asses. I'm going to basically call them out. And let's see. If they rise up, maybe we got something here. That's clearly not what happened because this is crazy. But I just feel like it could have that effect.
That's the effect I think it's going to have. Like I said, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to be good this year. Just because Butler's pissed and
Towns. How are Kat and Wiggins not pissed? You're basically just
I want Kat to tell the fucking truth in one interview. Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, he is very PC.
He's very passive.
Coach speak. He'll go 40 and 20, and he'll be like, yeah, I made mistakes out there. I could play better. You know, it's like, come on.
See, and that's why I loved KG and Moss. Because
he's totally like it is.
Exactly.
That's why I love Zimmer.
Yeah, Zimmer
he doesn't
too.
He'll say what he wants to say. And it's Jimmy Butler also does that. Jimmy Butler seems like he might have a screw loose, which just makes it a little bit.
Maybe a couple.
But hey, I think Moss and KG also kind of. But they would never throw their...
But that's the thing. You have to have a screw or two loose to be a great fucking athlete. A lot of the great athletes had a screw or two loose. Or at least, the fun athletes, in my opinion.
Yeah, some of those that were you said, Amos.
T.O.
Yeah, some of them. It's just I don't know. I just think it could be a pretty fun few weeks until either this gets resolved or this maybe, I don't know, something's going to change. I hope we don't just trade him after a week. I just want to see where this goes. Trade him at the deadline if we're not
looking at good. I'd be so disappointed if we traded him before Christmas.
Yeah. Unless we're garbage and just it's not working and the Heat are still willing to do that deal and it's just okay, let's just get this over with. This isn't working. They're not getting along. They're not even talking to each other. Something along those lines. Yeah. Let's just
when Butler gets the ball, he doesn't even look at Kat.
And he's getting booed every night by the fans. Okay, maybe we should just let it go. But you're better than the Cavs. So you should beat them. So when you beat them, what do you mean?
We open up against the Spurs.
Yeah.
We're better than the Spurs too now.
We play the Spurs, the Cavs, the Mavericks.
Because the Spurs have DeRozan and
they switched like LaMarcus half
Aldridge.
Yeah. They're probably still decent, but like we can beat them. It's on the road, so that's the only part. But the Cavs, the Mavericks, aren't they both terrible?
Yeah, the Mavericks added DeAndre Jordan in the offseason. Oh, good for you. Oh, and Luka Doncic.
Oh, there we go. They're stacked now. Pacers, I think they're pretty decent, aren't they?
No, Miles Turner just signed an extension. Yeah, I really like that Miles Turner.
I
like the Pacers. I like the Pacers. They've got a good roster.
Well, that one trade, the Paul George trade, everyone was like, what an idiot, so bad. And then Oladipo.
Dude's
suddenly really good.
Yeah.
So,
there's a reason why he was taking number two overall.
So, I'm excited. I'm excited for the season, you know? At first, I just need trade him and get it over with. And now it's like, you know what? Fuck it.
I really like
that. I feel like Thibs is loving it.
I need another sport in my life. I've just got...
Yeah.
I've got the golfers and everything like that, but it's not a professional sport. Like, I need...
And the Twins and were just like so boring.
And the Twins were bad, and I'm not a big hockey guy. I can't get in the Wild. Huge Wild guy come June or May, April, whenever the playoffs start.
Yeah,
start like, huge Wild guy.
I like going to hockey games. I just don't ever... I don't actually care enough, and I know when I watch a game if I care. Like, yeah. I'm like... clenching my teeth so much during a Viking game that my mouth is sore at the end of it. I don't even know why I do that, but like when I watch a fucking Wild game, it's just like
it's on the TV.
Go Wild, yeah.
It's on the TV. It's like, oh.
Well, also there's so many games in every other sport that it's like this game really doesn't matter that much. Who cares? Like Twins, there's fucking 162 of them. It's like
got to do something about that schedule. Like you got to cut it down.
Like yeah, well they're never gonna because it's more money for them. But like it's just like. You're never, like, when you get towards the end, then it's really exciting. You know, like, the game 163s we've been in, or, like, games where it's like, shit, we're, you know.
Playoff baseball's always fun. Yeah,
like,
it's great.
Like, and even playoff hockey, like, that shit's fun to watch, because, like, all of a sudden, it's like, this is it. You need to, I don't know.
Yep, so these are the best players playing, you know, the best hockey they can, you know.
I mean, basketball also 80-some games, but I just am more into it for some reason. I've been a season ticket holder.
I like basketball. I like being able to watch basketball. You know, it's 82 games long. Like, I don't have to watch every single Wolves game.
Oh, yeah, and I certainly don't. You know, yeah, just kind of like whenever you have a chance. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm bored. Oh, yeah, Wolves are on tonight. But turn that on.
Those last two games we went to, though, the game.
The 82?
Yeah, to go to the playoffs. Fucking intense as hell.
So much fun.
Yeah, and then the playoff game, the win against the Rockets. Like,
which was a blowout.
Unreal, yeah.
So much fun.
So, did you see Nick Dressen was down at the preseason game?
No, I didn't.
And he's walking through the Skyway. You know, it's like Wolves fans around him. He's going to the game, and he's got his phone on Snapchat, and he's, Wolves in six. It's like dead silent. He's just yelling Wolves in six all the way around. Yeah, there's people are like, what's this moron talking about?
Should have been at the playoff game.
Yeah. What a fool. We should get him to come on Friday. He's a big basketball fan.
Yeah, it's weird. Nick doesn't seem like the basketball kind of guy.
I don't know. He's like super into basketball, way more than he is football. And is he a big Wolves fan or is he just a big basketball fan?
Just big basketball fan.
But I guess if he had to pick one, he'd say Wolves.
Probably.
It's so weird to me. Like, I could never.
He just started liking basketball like 4 years ago.
Oh, really? Got super into it?
Yeah.
Well, he goes to Viking games and stuff. I don't even think he's a big of a Viking fan.
Oh, I think he goes with Nico.
Yeah. Nico, I wonder if he listens. I wonder if he knows this exists.
I don't know, Nico, did you listen?
Didn't you guys listen to it on the way to
Oh, yeah, Green we Bay? Did listen to it. We did listen to it. I don't know if he was paying attention.
No, he was probably turned
he's
off.
He's probably thinking like, Rob, why are we listening to talk radio?
Yeah, who are these two idiots?
This is terrible. One guy just says the whole time.
you sound like that guy from the radio I listen to. It's weird.
Hey, you know that guy at the casino I just met? He sounds like the guy I heard.
All right, we should wrap her up. I think we're over 2 hours again.
Oh, jeez. All right, well, follow me on Twitter at Grapes07. Follow Dimebag at 10th Puppy.
Follow us at
Grapes and Gorak. Like us on Facebook at Grapes and Gorak. Tell your friends. All right. Hi, Mom. Bye, Mom.
What button do I push? Oh, yeah.